I thought seriously about driving home one night, how easy it would be to take my little Mercedes convertible and stick it in the abutment on the side.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish. Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
All right, give me a second. Give me a second to get all the new buttons ready. Hi, everybody.
Hi up there.
Welcome to the most confusing setup they possibly could have given me for our brand new studio.
But you love it, don't you?
Oh, absolutely, Mike.
There you go.
And let me say, welcome back, not to Buzz, not to Rob, not to you, but to FedEx Field Stadium announcer Philip, Robert, Jonathan, Hartford.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
Thank God you all are back. There's been a problem with Phil.
Why? Well, what's wrong with Phil?
Well, ever since you've been gone, he's been walking around naked just like Richard Hatch on Survivor. I hope this will put it to an end. I don't know. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Vera C. Goulet and all the ships at sea. Back after their 9-day vigil sitting with the widow Mathau, it's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Robbie. And hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. It's Thursday.
What?
You sound far away.
Well, I am far away from you.
Yeah, you're a little further away than you were before.
It is Thursday, and it is July... You know, the lights are so crappy in here, I can't see.
July 6th.
And it's a new episode. Hello, everybody.
All right, I'm not going to start my complaining because I know you've got a lot more to do. I feel like I'm talking into the microphone and there's a little half delay. Would that be accurate?
I don't have the half delay.
Hello?
I just have... Listen, we bitched and bitched and bitched. First, let me just say...
We shouldn't bitch because we know the engineers worked very hard.
They tried their hardest on this studio.
They worked their asses off.
Let me just say that...
Now, I got to make sure the levels are okay. Hello?
I want to say we're glad to be back. As opposed to the last vacation we had, when I came back and I said I really wanted to stay on vacation.
Right.
This time, I really was ready to come back.
I understand.
And I was jacked. I'm excited. I missed all of you guys.
You said that it's a much different experience coming back today.
Yes.
Than the last time you rolled in here when you really didn't want to come back.
No, I was ready to come back a week ago. Frankly, I was absolutely ready to come back. Wow. And I was especially excited because I thought that I'd be coming back to... the brand new pristine studios that we have been promised for the last 9 years here at our home station, WJFK.
Some of it is pristine.
But it's not done.
No. Are they going to put a new ceiling in here?
I do not think a new ceiling is in the plan.
Okay, no need for that.
However, you know, as we look around at this studio, and I know that right now Wendell's putting a gun in his mouth outside.
Wendell, I don't know how many hours they put in, but I guess they put a lot of...
121 man hours went into putting the studio together.
121 man and hours.
They could not have possibly made me a studio that was more inaccessible than they did.
They put everything on the wrong side is what it
is,
right?
Yeah, I had a few simple requests that I had. One request was to have just a little stand with a piece of plexiglass like I used to have so I could lay out my notes and stuff.
Uh-huh. Is that... Can't they get you one now?
No, I was told that would have to be custom made.
Yeah, but we'll custom make it. What's it going to cost them, $20?
Also, I know this is... Let me just get the small nitpicking stuff out of the way, and then we can actually move into the show.
Okay.
Just let me tell you some behind-the-scenes stuff. My microphone is microphone number one, and I'm used to Mike's microphone being microphone number two. A lot of times, to take care of deficiencies engineering-wise,
right.
I move the microphone levels accordingly when I talk and when Mike talks.
Like with the two fingers,
right.
you work them the whole... You ride them the whole show, and that's one of the things you do.
Well, now, not only are the microphones... out of my reach from where I'm standing.
Well, you've got one that's number one and one that's number four, so you'd have to have the hand of like an orangutan in order to successfully work them both with one hand.
Yeah, you have to have like like E.T. fingers
right.
to run the board. Mike is on microphone number four. I'm on microphone number one. Buzz is just says news Buzz. Right. When I came in today, the cartridge machines where we play our wacky tapes on, they were actually turned so that they face the door when you enter the studio. It was like, I don't understand why the cartridges weren't facing Me, meaning the disc jockey.
Yeah, you'd have no way of knowing what's in the machine.
Right, and the computer screen is all the way over here, and the instant replay is all the way over here. And the one thing that I wanted most of all, I wanted a microphone that I would be able to move around and not get a lot of noise with.
Yeah.
If I'm
going
to have to move around a lot. But as you can hear, that also was not done.
Now, that's the same.
Right.
Microphone stands are the same.
Virtually the same. But beyond that, this is a beautiful studio. Even as I look around at the walls that have no soundproofing on them.
Yeah, that has, I guess that's on order.
On order.
It's on order, Mike.
I'm not going to buy, you know, I feel so guilty about complaining, but I have to say this because it's in my mind and it's on order, but how long have they known they were going to do the studio?
Well, the original time they were going to do the studio was March. Then they moved it back to the end of June.
But this was in the plans, this stuff that they put on the wall.
Yeah, I know. Listen, thank you. I know a lot of you have waited patiently for 2 weeks for us to get back
from
vacation.
And then we're complaining right out of the first day back from a very long vacation, and we whine and complain. But, you know, I understand what you're dealing with over there. It's very, very frustrating.
It's just, it's not the same setup as it was.
The good news is a lot of those things that you're concerned about now probably can be rectified. I would think that the plexiglass stand. Because, I mean, you shouldn't have to set all your crap up like, you know, it's like a desk without enough room on it. Where's the old plexiglass thing?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. Where is it, Robbie?
I'm sure it's gone. But remember,
it's gone.
It's been cracked since 1993.
Yeah, it had a crack. Don't forget that we had to tape it up with scotch tape just to get it ready. But beyond, you know, my complaints about how all of the equipment is out of my reach and the telephones are on the wrong side of the console and the replays all the way across the room and I can't lay my stuff up. Aside from that,
it's not bad.
It's pretty good.
I mean, it's beautiful new furniture. We have beautiful blue Corian countertops in here. We've got lovely cherry wood trim around everything. But
I mean, it looks like the Starship Enterprise in here.
Really, really cool. It's very, very beautiful. Very, very beautiful.
And we currently do have 5 microphones in the studio. So on the odd occasion that we do get a guest in here, we actually will be able to accommodate extra people coming into the studio.
Yeah, that's the nicest thing of all. That really is.
But, you know, other than that,
the only thing, and I know you've complained, let me just get this off my chest, and I said this to you earlier. I said to Dan Ryson, our chief engineer, and I said it very clearly, I think you were all here when I said it.
Yes.
Two words. Lazy boy. There is not a lazy boy here in the studio.
You have room for a lazy boy there.
There's plenty of room over here. I could put a real recliner if I wanted to sit over there.
See, from Mike's standpoint...
But I don't sit over there.
From Mike's standpoint, the studio is beautiful. He has nice countertop.
I'm very comfortable.
Lots of space.
I'm more comfortable than I was before.
He's able to rest. He's able to relax.
Yeah, I'm able to recline. I mean, I can't tell you. My neck pain's already gone.
Good.
Yeah, I'm very happy about
that. Excellent,
man. And I thought for a minute you were hiding back in the corner there, and I didn't think... Even you're higher than I am, though. I'm down. Yes. I'm down like in a trench down here. Hi,
hello, hello, everyone up there. How are you?
What has been the response from the other disc jockeys to this studio, Carlos?
I have not heard.
You have not heard? So these would possibly be the first. No, hold on. G was in here today. I'm positive that G Gordon Liddy must have been bitching about this studio, right?
I don't listen.
No, you don't listen. I'd hate to be the first. I'd hate to be the guy who busts the hymen of busting on this studio
outside of where everything's located. If they get all the buttons where you want them to be, and are you comfortable over there? Do you feel like it's a better space? Because it looks like you might even be a little more cramped.
From my standpoint,
care though about being cramped.
No, but what they did to make the room bigger was basically they just put all of the crap over on the side of the room where I am.
Right.
And they opened it up for you and for Rob and for Buzz. And that's fine. You know, I don't care about.
I tell you, I'm looking at a studio that will be much more accessible for games like Strip Trivia.
Oh, Strip Trivia will be beautiful in this new studio.
You know, it's not as bad as you think, because once they get the cart rack out of here, you'll have a lot more room behind you. I mean, the CD rack, which we needed.
Yeah, that's the other thing they did. They took up an entire wall of the studio for a station that's a talk station, putting in 5,000 CD racks.
Yeah, it's like about, I would say, 7 foot by 6 foot by 6 inches deep. It's perfect for, like, storing sliced meat.
Why did they do that?
Well, I think it came with the stuff.
Yeah, probably came with the furniture.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to waste it.
And you know how radio stations like those quick format changes. Hey, we got new carpeting, too, right?
Oh, yeah, that was the first thing. Smells good in here, doesn't it?
It's very nice.
Yeah.
It's not
bad.
Once they get the walls done...
It's not bad.
It's going to be pretty good.
I believe that the only person inconvenienced by this would be me.
I know. I knew that.
The person with the biggest mouth would be the person who's the most inconvenienced. It's no inconvenience for Buzz. He's still in the same goddamn Dachau that he was in 2 weeks ago.
Beautiful. Yeah, I'm here. It's never looked better in the newsroom.
You got it nice. Robbie's got it nice.
Yeah, my cough button, though, in the old studio,
yeah,
I could recline and press the cough button if I had to clear my throat. Now, I have to do this. Oh, dear.
Yeah. Sorry, Mike.
Wow.
We'll work on that. Maybe we can get you a stick.
A remote.
We'll get you a stick.
Some tongs. I'll need some tongs to reach for different things.
And, of course, with a brand new studio, we are still on the old-fashioned system of screening calls. The computer still doesn't work. Lisa,
you don't have a computer screen?
I have a screen.
Is there nothing on it?
No. Lisa just brought me in a handwritten card to say that there's a guy on line 4 who will tell us what G said about the studio.
Oh, very good. Okay.
So let's go there now. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Welcome back.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, Pete Gordon said that there are big hammer holes in the wall.
There are gigantic hammer holes in the wall. Yes, there are.
And he said that there are still biological stains on the ceiling.
And nice to see our first call is on one of those cell phones.
Oh, you know what? Hold on.
I think it's coming in from Uranus.
I don't know if it's the guy's cell phone or if it's the buttons I got to press. Every day, that's another thing I do in here, is I fix the phone so that they don't sound crappy.
Okay.
I mean, let me take another call. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Listen, just talk for a second so I can press some buttons here.
Testing, testing.
Okay.
Testing.
Keep going.
Testing, testing.
Oh, that was the wrong button. Keep going.
Testing.
Testing.
Testing, testing.
Keep going.
Testing, 1, 2, testing.
That's it. Beautiful. Got it. Yes, hello. Thank you.
No problem. Hey, he said that it was a real nice studio except for the holes in the wall and the crud on the ceiling and pretty much just said what Mike said about being down on the floor, and he really hoped to get some girls in there with short skirts on.
You do feel like you're in a trench. You do. And I was just thinking with all this beautiful furniture that the ceiling, you know, it would be nice if they... Well, the ceiling, I guess, is okay. It just needs a good, like, washing down, I think.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Radio God.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I was just wondering which of y'all was going to be the first one to break some wind in there and get that cherry popped.
Well, you know what? I don't think it'll be me. And I'm sad to break with a fantastic tradition, but I actually lost weight on vacation.
I know that your weight loss will not prevent you at some point, though, from bestowing something wonderful on us.
I haven't eaten bad food for 2 weeks.
But, I mean, you can eat broccoli, which is incredibly healthy, and that'll produce gas.
I've not had a lot of farts the last 2 weeks. I've been on, my wife has put me on a self-imposed, like, health kick.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're not eating any bad stuff. What would generate, you're not eating, like, meat anymore?
No, I eat fish now. She took me off the red meat.
Oh, okay. All right.
All I'm eating now is fish.
Well, try clams.
For the fart stuff?
Clams and oysters.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, you know, the studio won't be that bad, I guess. I mean, we don't have a choice. We got to work in the studio every day.
Right. It's that bad. You're that. You know, I think if they reconfigure that board a little bit for the way you want it to be, like I think it's pretty easy to switch one microphone to a different, attenuator pot.
Yeah, I hope so.
Potentiometer.
All right, I'm past it. Thank you, everybody. I've had my Malox moment. I believe that we can now continue with the show. Okay, prepared to give you not quite 4 hours, but maybe 3.5 hours of really quality radio today.
Very good.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, is there a plug for Mike's deep fryer in there?
Is there a what?
A plug for Mike's deep fryer.
A plug for the deep fryer? You know, you're absolutely right about AC. Rob, do we have a...
It's an outlet.
Rob, where's the outlet?
See?
Under the in the board, under the in the console, it's accessible. We just have to remove a panel.
We've got one in here. Thank you, Mike.
Right.
Okay,
thank you.
Wow.
And who was the one that, like, in the pool said that I'd use the deep fryer? Do you know when the last time I used deep fryer was?
On the show.
On the show.
On the show.
I was looking in the on my my little bet board.
Right.
The Don predicted that you would be done with the deep fryer by July. I'm sorry, June 26th.
Well, it was like a month earlier.
I believe you were.
Yeah. Sorry.
Hello.
Still have it though.
Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Where in the world have you been?
Well, on vacation.
Oh, please.
Are you the same guy that calls every time?
I'm sitting there waiting for Wednesday, but no, where's Don and Mike? They're not there.
Right. Hey, F you. We got an extra day.
You're killing me.
You're killing me.
You're killing me.
You're killing me. Happy 4th of July.
Same to you.
Come on. How are we supposed to be here yesterday? Everybody left at where they were going on Tuesday night.
I told a group of people on July 4th, I said, I can't wait to get back to work because we'll take these. This will be one of the third or fourth calls we take. And I was absolute. Was this number three? I think this is the number three call that we do.
Yeah.
We always do this. It always happens. We're back, sir.
Well, this is Duck Butts from Northern California, and you're killing me.
Well, we're here now. Shut your pie hole.
Did you go anywhere for the holiday? Did you get away at all or what?
No, that's the problem.
What did you do for, what do you do for a living, sir?
That was pretty much it. I'm a contractor and a decoy maker.
A decoy maker? Hey, cherry gig. No wonder you're mad.
Hey, honey, listen, I know we had a big vacation planned for the 4th, but I'm sorry, I got that decoy maker coming over to the living room.
There you go.
All right, goodbye. Well, stop your bitching. We're here now.
Done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, goodbye. Anybody that makes decoys, you got to know, that's 360, that's 24-7.
Oh, yeah. Don and Mike show, hello.
Hey, Don, Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Glad to have you back, buddy.
Thank you, my friend.
Oh, man, I missed you. And whoever was running the boards while you were gone, kill them, please. Please kill them before they pollute the earth with their offspring.
Why? What was going on when we were gone?
Oh, my God. You'd be right in the middle of talking. It'd be a great bit, and all of a sudden, tink, you'd be in commercial. And it was like, it sounded like they were burning up the tapes, too. Did you have that? Then when you go into commercial, I was like, oh, my God.
All right. Thank you. Well, you know here, quality control is job 500.
Absolutely.
Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike show. Right.
Welcome back. Thank you very much.
Hello, Donaldo E. Miguel.
Hi.
Hi.
I was watching Sunday morning, the CBS Sunday morning program.
Was Charles Osgood?
No. It was a lady, and
Isn't CBS Sunday morning run by Mr. Charles Osgood?
Normally it is, yeah.
Lady.
Yeah.
They ran a clip of your show from the day that you talked to the lady who, in that border town on the Mexican border.
Oh, the El Cezinho thing?
Yeah.
Is that where they finally buried that on? You know, we had the people from 60 Minutes calling us and telling us that they wanted to put us on 60 Minutes. It's about the whole issue of people in America should speak American.
Yeah, and there was a controversy involving this show, and people from 60 Minutes wanted to get involved.
So that's where they finally buried it? It didn't go to 60 Minutes or to 60 Minutes 2 or even to 48 Hours? It went to the CBS Sunday morning show?
Sunday morning, yeah. They played a little clip, and the lady that you had talked to talked about how humiliating it was for her.
Right.
It was very sad.
Right. Oh, it's very sad for her.
Yeah.
We feel nothing but regret and remorse for her.
Oh,
and
yeah,
we have stated that.
Like a couple of Nazis.
Well, what's that?
It made you sound like a couple of Nazis.
Well, you know, when you do this job, people occasionally take shots at you. But that, you know, that's a real happy thought from you coming back from vacation.
Yeah, Sig Heil, honey.
Thanks so much.
All I care about is did they get our names correct?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Right. Very
beautiful.
Good.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I'd like a tape of that. That's some national exposure for this show.
I'd be very interested to see what they had to say.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. I hope you had a good vacation.
Thank you. Sure did.
I was with my wife over the weekend.
No, I take it back. I did for a couple of days.
But the early part of the vacation was good?
Maybe the first day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the first day was good. Then it started to go downhill from there.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I know you had a great vacation the last time. And
it was okay.
And mine was okay.
I mean, mine just involved, I will get into this at great length later, it just involved too much family.
Ah, yes.
You know, sometimes there's not enough family, and sometimes there's just too much family.
I don't agree. I really don't agree. I just can't get enough of mine. loving family. My loving, warm, all-inclusive, extended family. My stay-at-the-hotel-because-we're-using-the-house family.
Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm fine. Everything's fine. I have a very, very nice, very nice vacation. Good.
All right. Well, anyway, here you go.
Anyway.
So hard.
I was going to wipe this weekend over to vacation, and we're watching a porno film.
Good for you, sir.
It was called Blow by Blow, and in the background, there's this radio announcer as part of the skit of the porno, and she's in the back, she says, and coming from WJFK Radio, she extends to go on, and I figured you all like that.
Thank you. She extends to go on. Thank you, my friend. It's great news. CBS Sunday Morning did an expose on us that referred to us as Nazis, and we are featured prominently in the porno movie Blow by Blow.
Fantastic. That is wonderful news.
Well, hello. Don and Mike Show.
Yes, guys, I'd like to commend you on your stand that you took on English in America.
That was a weird sentence. And then he flew away in his spaceship.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Welcome back, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Buzz, welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
Don, you were talking about Fuente Opus cigars or something like that?
Yes, I love them. Fuente Opus X.
Are they rare or?
Yeah, here's why they're rare. They're rare like blue Volkswagen Beetles are rare. They're rare because somewhere they have a gigantic building where they have about 5 million of these cigars.
Right.
They only release about 100 of them a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're rare.
All right, so they're not like easily accessible to get at.
No, they're not.
What's your second favorite?
That would be it. If you can't find that, you're dead to me.
Thank you.
Goodbye, though.
True.
Thank you for the call. Hello.
He even sent the building owner out to get one, and he got in a fight.
Oh, my God. The funniest thing happened yesterday when we weren't here. You know the guys that own the building? Now, you know that Mike's done that killer impression of Bob.
Right. I just want to say I'm really happy about landscaping that I have out here. Win awards.
Bob's skin. Now, Bob's skin, there's another guy, this little guy. Like, it's like Skipper and Little Buddy.
Yeah.
The absolutely. Other guy, his name is Tom.
He's
Tom, the other
great guy. They're both very great. I mean, terrific guys.
They're the guys who are the landlords of the building that this radio station is housed in. Well, apparently, you know, they run a title business up there. And yesterday, one of the customers for the title business got a bit irate with Lil Tom.
I thought it was a contractor that was working in the building.
No, I heard. Is that what he said? Because somebody told me it was a customer.
He said it was a contractor.
Well, maybe I misunderstood.
I mean, I don't know whether I misheard, but I thought it was a guy that was doing some work around here.
I don't know.
I hope it wasn't one of their customers.
Well, I thought I heard customer. Although maybe you're right. Maybe it was
some guy doing some work around here.
It was a guy.
Right.
And they had an argument, and as Lil Tom, not to be confused with Lil' Kim, as he picked up the telephone to call the cops.
Uh-huh. Just because the guy was getting so irate, I guess he wanted to have him removed.
As he was on the phone calling 911, the guy punched him in the face.
Ooh.
And Tom has...
He's got a classic shiner.
It looks like he was in a Muhammad Ali boxing match.
I mean, you couldn't get a more perfect black eye. It was incredible. It's cool. It surrounds the entire eye. It's purple. He looks almost like Tony Coniglio of the Red Sox way back when.
The guy that got hit in the face of the baseball.
Yeah, I mean, really, he must have really teed off on him.
And this guy, Tom, came into the office today, and I know you brought his name up because he gave us some nice cigars.
Yep, absolutely.
Certainly not Opus X, but some nice cigars. He brought us some good cigars. And as he turned the corner, he took his glasses off. He said, "What do you guys think about this?"
And, you know, when you see that, sometimes a guy says, "Well, I was working in my house and something fell on me, or I walked into a wall." This was a classic punched in the eye shiner.
The guy just got smashed in the face.
Some guy, yeah, they had a little altercation and pow, zam, zowie.
While the cops were on the phone with the guy, he reached over the table and punched him in the face.
Absolutely. Wow. So, you know, we were gone a while, but strange doings here in the building.
Yeah, good stuff still happens. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Welcome back, Don and Mike.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, I was wanting to ask a question for Buzz. Hey, Buzz.
All right, yes.
When you were here in Wichita, were you here putting gas in your parents' car here in Wichita?
I think I did. Well, no, I don't think I did, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely looking guy putting gas in his parents'
car. Buzz, were you siphoning it out of another car?
That's actually what I was doing, yes.
I was stealing gas with those prices, you know.
But I wanted to see if that was you or not.
Oh, it's a Buzz Stalker.
Yeah.
All the way from Wichita.
It wasn't me. I was in town, but that wasn't me pumping gas.
Was the man bending over when you saw him, sir?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hello, was he wearing one of those shoes that Buzz wears?
Clogs?
Hey.
No, not clogs.
Rockport.
America loves the Rockport.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
They're in every mall, you know.
Hello,
Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, I won a contest with you guys a while back because I was milking my dog's anal glands.
Right.
And I just want to tell you, I had to break down and get the surgery to get them removed.
Ooh. Oh, for your dog?
Yeah, it cost me $250 to get it removed.
Worth it.
And I'm still waiting for Broyhill to send me my $50 for winning the wackiest thing listening to your show.
All right. Thank you. I'll put you on hold. Hold on a second.
Oh, if my wife's listening, I wanted to tell her right before I left. Hamilton got into the pizza, last night's pizza, ate half a pizza, and he's in the house. And so there's going to be a brown river soon in our living room somewhere because I smelled it. He actually burped. He crawled up on the bed, and he went like this. I said, hello, Hamilton. And he went, you know, dog burps when they just go. And I smelled pepperoni.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I think the next time somebody calls you to commend you on being pro-English in America, they should learn how to speak English themselves.
Was there a grammatical error made by the lady who called or the gentleman that called?
The guys seem to tail off there a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what really pisses me off about that is that the times that I've been jobless and I'm looking through the want ads and you come across something that's halfway decent, and but you have to be bilingual.
Not when you elect me your king, sir.
Well, exactly. And, when's the election? Come on, let's bring it up.
Yeah, but Don's got, don't get all excited about the English, Spanish thing, because Don's got a lot of priorities in front of that. I've seen the agenda, and his first priority is the elderly in America.
Yeah, get them off the road.
Except for your mom. That's right. She's exempt. Thank you for that.
However, my mother-in-law is not. My mother-in-law will be put in one of the elderly work camps.
The mother-in-law who is next door to you all week.
That's right.
There you go.
Your spin control, your leisure camp.
Excuse me, Robbie.
Not
thank
a
you.
Work camp.
That's right.
Leisure camp.
What a horrible thing to call it, a work
it's
camp.
Sorry. What about the lip?
The leisure camp.
A leisure and fun camp.
No, just leisure.
Oh, okay.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Welcome back.
Hey, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, I thought you'd be interested. We, out here in Wichita, we saw Buzz and Marcia out too. Just sloppy drunk, and Marcia was having martinis out of Buzz's colostomy bag with a straw.
Oh, my God.
Knocked it off.
Buzz.
I've since sold the bags. They're on eBay.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Thank God there was alcohol involved in my vacation. I would have come back a total mess.
Not mine.
Thank God I got drunk almost every night.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Did you catch Don at Darva Conger on the cover of Playboy?
Yeah, I saw that when we were on vacation.
Darva Conger is okay in my book as far as easy on the eye. She's gotten better. I think she's worked out more since the event.
I think there's lots of airbrushing going on there. Did you see the pictures?
You could be very
I'm
right.
Talking about last night when they had her on 48 Hours. They had an interview with Darva Conger, and not only is she more media savvy than she was when she first started, because now she's just got it totally figured out. She's not a dummy anyway. She's an ER nurse, and she's not a stupid person. But she looked really, really good. And there's a picture of her standing next to Hefner, like in the pajamas. Here, come right over here.
Half buddy. Well, listen, before we get going on to vacations and how wonderful they were, let's just take a second here to talk about the stuff that was on TV last night. Because I know once I really get into this vacation thing, I'm going to be a good break or two into it.
I would figure you seem to have an awful lot to say.
I have an agenda, and I know that you have perhaps an unspoken agenda.
Yes.
But I know you also have an agenda.
I do. I have a rather interesting airport story that I'd like to share with everybody about my 2.5 hour delay.
The show's last night, okay? The 2 hour block there on CBS. The Survivor show, it gets better and better and better, I think. I loved watching it last night more than maybe any episode that I've seen thus far. I love seeing Richard walk around naked.
He's your guy.
He's my choice to make it to the end.
That's right.
He's the best, I think, on that island. The person who I discovered last night that I hate the most is Gretchen, the school teacher.
Might be with you on that one. I don't like her either.
I really don't like her annoying, bitchy attitude.
Too cold. Way too cold.
I was glad that they voted Joey or whatever, the new kid on the block.
Squeaky Bo Dirt.
Joel.
That's right.
You know what pissed me off about the school teacher last night? When she voted Joel out, and she's a school teacher.
I like what she said, though.
The J was written the wrong way.
Very weird. Very weird. But she's also the one that made some comment about him being rich, which I liked also. You know, he doesn't need the money. You know, he's got money or something along those lines.
Yes. Hello, Toya. Lisa.
Hi.
Hi.
My boyfriend and I think that the reason she did the J backwards is so nobody would know that it was her that voted for him, that maybe she was being smarter than everybody else by writing funky.
So he wouldn't be able to recognize the writing?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, take a note, Robbie. We need a lock on that.
Oh, God.
Okay? That microphone is not open to anybody who just wants to walk in and pipe in with her 2 cents.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, Christ, all of a sudden,
we're back.
I look up,
welcome.
All of a sudden, I look up, there's Lisa standing right there and go, hi, here, listen, here I am. Here I am on the radio. This is what my boyfriend and I thought.
She has a boyfriend.
Really?
Yeah. Now, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's the news we'd like. I think she's had a boyfriend all along. Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Mm.
So the Survivor show, at least in my opinion, was real good last night.
I found myself once again, my man Rudy, the old man, found myself feeling sorry for Rudy when the military guys walking down the beach, and then he was talking about I can't do it as fast as I used to, and then they excluded him from the obstacle course, which had to kill the old guy, but his team won, so he didn't even have to get voted off the island.
And how does that brother stay on the island?
Jervis.
He does nothing. Yeah, Jervis. He does nothing. He admits he does nothing.
Jervis is a good guy. See, now we're getting into the area where whether you can do well in the competitions is secondary to how you get along with the group, and Jervis is very well liked by the group.
Jervis got not even one vote cast against him last night. So it was a good Survivor.
Jenna, our stripper, and Joel. Absolutely.
The Survivor gets done, and I think now I'm ready for the companion show, Big Brother, which... Hello was the biggest colossal waste of 1 hour I think that I've ever spent, and I've wasted a lot of time watching television.
I was very irritated that you get to the end and you realize exactly what it was. It wasn't the show at all. It was just this total hype. But I will watch it again. I mean, I will watch it when they're in that house.
And you know what got me last night? They were presenting it as live, but really, isn't the house in California?
Yes, it is, on the CBS Live.
Right.
And it was dark.
It couldn't have been live because we were watching it at 9 o'clock East Coast time when it would have been sunny in California.
Absolutely. 6 o'clock Pacific time. Be sunny and brilliantly sunny.
And what about that Connie Chung wannabe that was the host? Oh, I am Judy Chan.
She's with CBS this morning, right?
Yes, she does the news. She's the news reader on early.
But she wasn't as bad as Ian O'Malley. Hi, Slicky Boy DJ.
Here's another one of the two-way mirrors. Let's turn on the light and look at Buzzy over there. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
I have not seen puking like that.
You know who I
long,
thought?
Long
you know who
time.
I thought it was? I thought it was Steve Kometko, that guy from E! Entertainment Television.
He makes this Steve Kometko makes this guy, look like he's normal.
God, I hope he's not going to be a regular part of the show.
I think he is. Actually, this guy makes Steve Kometko look like he's normal. He was so. I've never seen puking like that. Where it's like, okay, Caballero, Pachango. Let's go over to this two-way mirror right here. Yeah, there he is. There's Zeke or whatever, the cameraman. And hey, Zeke, how you doing? Okay, turn the light off, Zeke. Thanks a lot. Here we go. What was his deal? What was he trying? How can he get away with? Has that been his broadcasting style for his whole career?
I don't know. Now, if you'll turn the lights off, now I can't see... But you should be seeing me. I should have some kind of day glow green jacket on.
Yeah, he can't see, but of course every camera has a red light on it when it's on, and that's why he was looking right into the camera, moron.
I think that they could have taken that whole hour last night. They could have compressed that into like 10 minutes.
Right.
Because most people watching...
Right.
Knew the premise of the show already. You're going to get 10 strangers, 60 microphones, yes. 28 cameras. You're going to watch them. There was no need to make us sit through... That crap. And then when they had them come down the runway, this is the other thing that pissed me off. I said this to my wife last night. I was getting angrier and angrier watching this show. I said, these people, excuse me, they're not going off to war.
No.
They were hugging and they're crying. Oh, I will miss you so much. Mm-hmm. You're so brave for doing this. You're my guy. You're my hero. Go get them. They're not going to fight the war. They're going to live in a prefab house for 3 months.
Absolutely. I mean, they're hanging around until the next big news story that we're all going to watch. And then we're going to abandon them like yesterday's news.
Right. We may not, though.
You don't think so?
The thing that may save that show is the thing that has made Survivor, I think, so watchable, and it's getting to know the people.
I love it. I already love the roofer. He's my favorite, the big fat roofer guy. I love that guy. He's just so simple. That's what I love about him. He really strikes me as a simple guy that just said, I get bored. And it was so simple. And he said, one time I just put in my underwear and went out and I lay down in the backyard in the snow and had my family take a picture of me. This is a guy that just doesn't care. The one that cracked me up was the mother of four.
Oh, she got some gums on her, man.
And did that in her husband being interviewed, practically saying they're going to get divorced.
Yes.
I don't know what she's up to. I'm not. I'd be lying if I said I was happy.
And didn't she sound like she was from the movie Fargo?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, here we go. I just want to do it like that. And you know, this is the classic bored housewife. It really. She's going in because she doesn't want to take care of people anymore.
And I don't know how I feel about the one-legged guy. The jury's out on him.
I don't like him. And I think, for a guy, to not like a guy that has a sob story of having cancer and having his leg removed, you have to really be an unlikable guy, and that's exactly what he is.
Well, the reason I didn't like him is because he has crutches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why wouldn't you just get one of those prosthetic legs?
Well, maybe he brought it in his suitcase. But didn't they just have, like, a little briefcase?
Yes.
Yeah. Couldn't get a leg in there.
No, I don't think he had a leg. But the one I hated the most of all the people on Big Brother was the girl who was the supposed beauty queen?
Oh, yeah. Phyllis George from Three Mile
She's
Island?
Trouble. What a freaking moose she is.
Absolutely.
Now, I will watch the show to watch her plaster on her makeup in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I would bet it'll only be a small amount of time before the girl with the red hair pokes her eyes out. The girl, the annoying Generation X girl who said she was a virgin.
The virgin. And then they had one great moment on camera. Was it there? I think right before they went to commercial. And they had a shot of the stripper. And I'm sorry. You know, she can say exactly what she is. But, you know, what she is, she's a stripper.
Oh, no, but they make it out at first. They like she's a triathlete. She rides her bike. She swims. She runs. And oh yeah,
I work in a gentleman's club.
Yeah. Come on, she's a whore. She was a whore.
Right.
She's a hoe.
And they had a shot of her right at the end where she's looking at all the cameras and she gets this little smirk on her face, which says to me there'll be sexual activity in this house.
You mean the very last scene?
That last scene where she kind of had that look on her face.
No, I interpreted that totally differently.
How did you interpret that?
I interpreted that as, she's such a ditz, when she walked in that room, she finally realized...
That could be true.
...what was going on, like the light bulb was going on, like, wow, this is the room that I'm going to have to live in.
But she was not, as she did, the look was not one of fear, it was more of a look of... Hey, yeah, everybody's going to be looking at me naked, which is probably what she digs anyway. I don't think you can do that kind of work without being able to handle people seeing you, all out there.
Hey, what about the brother who thinks that he's that guy that Cuba Gooding Jr. played in Jerry Maguire?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
He was so full of crap. The guy was talking about his ladies. There was something he said about his girlfriend. There's only one for me, and she's my number one.
Yeah, and we'll see after 3 months.
Love you, baby. And when they went inside, when he came back outside one more time,
right?
And said like, yeah, go right on, wearing his shiny suit.
He's gonna. I think he's gonna get together with the roofer. I think that's what's gonna happen during this. Yeah, I know it's a wild card, but I think you're gonna see him one day. You're gonna see that infrared camera will come on, and you'll see rustling under the blankets, and then he'll just pop his head up, and it'll be right next to the roofer.
I wish they would have showed the cut. Off of the chickens' heads on Survivor last night, also
where the monitor, the lizard, got the
no earlier.
Chickens, early,
you missed the first part of the show.
And once again, my incredible string of missing key moments on Survivor.
You missed Richard naked, and you also missed the strategy that the tribe had when they had only 2 days left before the tribes are going to merge.
Right,
they said. Or maybe it was 3 days left. We're going to eat these three chickens over these next 3 days, so when the tribes merge, they're not going to get any of our food. And they actually showed them taking the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was holding the body. The other one was holding the head. And you saw, like, the legs, and you heard it going, brah, brah, and they showed a knife.
Mm-hmm.
But then you didn't actually get to see the thing being beheaded.
Ow.
I mean, I wanted to see that.
Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, sure.
You've seen a chicken getting beheaded.
Sure I have, yeah. It's grand fun.
They run. They actually do sometimes run.
I know. Well, hence the movie.
Yeah.
You know, Chicken Run.
Absolutely.
Right. No, it was great. And then they ate it.
They ate the chicken, and then at the end, of course, the lizard.
The lizard ate it.
Now, do the guys from CBS, like, carry the lizards down?
I thought about that.
Of course they do. The lizards just don't find the chickens. They probably bring them down to where I think everything on that island is completely controlled. I'm with David Letterman. It's all fixed.
Rigged. And how safe was it to eat the chicken after the lizard had eaten it, when they go on, and they're washing it in salt water?
They boil it. And that's to say, you can eat anything after you boil it for a long time. It kills all the bacteria. So they boiled it for a long time. At least that's what Gretchen said. Was that who said it? Gretchen, boiling the chicken?
Gretchen, yeah. Oh, that's right, because that's when the guy who looks like he's in NSYNC, that's when he was saying to her, hey, you boil the water first. Whenever I make rice, I boil the water first.
Oh, yeah, that's when Joel was out. Right at that moment was when he was effectively off the island, you know?
So the Survivor, I'm absolutely hooked on. The Big Brother, I guess I'll watch it tonight.
Well, this, you know, no shame whatsoever. You might be wondering, do we have a camera in the bathroom? Yes.
Yeah, and again, will they really give us what we want?
No.
You know, will we be able to see the one-legged boy taking a nice dookie? No. No. We're only going to be able to see the bathroom camera
right.
if people go in there and make out or go in there to talk and have a little private conversation.
I tune in just to see the roofer every morning. And he's probably going to get the whole gang mad at him, you know, after he... Isn't that bathroom... It doesn't have a wall, right? I mean, the bathroom is
no
completely...
No wall, no doors.
No doors. So the bathroom is complete... Well, the actual commode room where the toilet is has a door, doesn't it?
I don't remember if it had a door. Yeah, does it have a
it
door
does.
Buzzing?
But the camera is located directly above it.
Right.
I'd love to see him. I mean, I really would.
Do you think they show if somebody left a floater? If somebody had a double pumper and they didn't do it the second time?
Well, your point about... And I'm curious about this, about live. It's not live, right? This is a show that's in the can.
Only on Thursday nights. Thursday night will be live. The show's Monday, Tuesday, and Friday will be taped, and so will the Saturday recap show.
And then they come out and it's a great tie-in to say you can, you know, watch it on the internet.
But it's live on the web.
Yeah, I think it would be better if it was live all the time. I mean, that's part of what intrigued me last night, and that's when I originally felt the lead going out of my pencil when I realized that as I watched, you know, Connie Chung or whatever her name was, I was realizing, yeah, this is not live.
Right.
This was probably taped a couple of days ago in Los Angeles with the caravan of SUVs, right?
I guess they can't do it live because really, if they were going to do every show live, you wouldn't have... that many good moments. You have to take the highlights of when there's, you know, because most of the time if people are just slepping around, I mean, if they're not told to get into a fight or they're not, they have to wait for these things to happen.
No, you know what, though? It's almost like the Truman Show. I think you would watch it. Do you know a website I went to over the weekend that somebody told me about? Have you ever been to .com guy?
Mm-mm. Yes.
Okay. It's a guy who for the last 6 months has been living in his house, and everything that he does in his house, he gets through the internet, meaning he never leaves. He can go in the backyard to get a little sun,
right.
But he can't leave his house to buy anything, and he has to run his business from his house, and there's a camera on him at all times, except when he's in the shower or when he's taking a crap.
Right.
So every time I would go to this website, and it's .comguy.com, you turn it on, and he's just sitting there looking at the newspaper. I mean, it's the most boring thing I've ever seen.
But it's like being it's total voyeurism.
But over the weekend, I must have gone to that website maybe 20 times.
So you've actually, do you like the guy?
I don't know anything about him.
But I mean, have you formed any kind of opinion of him by just
he's a nerd.
Yes. He's a nerd.
He kind of looks like the Hobbit, that intern that we used to have, F the Hobbit.
You see him mining for gold or anything good like that?
No. Oh, he's very aware that there's a camera on him at all times.
Right.
It's just a lot of him sitting around reading. A lot of shots of him on the computer. Have you been to that site, Buzz?
Yes, I have. Sometimes he has guests. He'll have somebody on and interview them. Like it turns into a show for a few minutes. And then he goes back to living his normal life.
Wow.
The .com guy.
Yeah, we're getting to that. I mean, that's what everybody wants to see. Mm-hmm. I think that has a life expectancy, though.
Has anybody gone to the Big Brother site?
Because I haven't yet.
I logged on last night after they gave the plug on CBS,
right.
And all they had was a screen saying under construction.
Thanks.
Wait to see the Big Brothers.
Thank you. That was Ian O'Malley that did that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I've been on the Big Brother site. And it is awesome. Totally awesome.
Why is the Big Brother site awesome?
Well, you have four different streams, and it's live, it's not edited, and you can tell a lot about these people just by watching the website. That little freak girl with the purple hair.
Right.
Diarrhea of the mouth.
Oh, really? Talking all the time?
Like crazy.
Right.
All right, thank you. You know, maybe we'll log on that during the show today. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Does that have more content than, they wouldn't be able to show on network television? Like, if they had the shower cam.
Yes, but there's still a director who decides what does and doesn't go on the web.
Mm. Hello?
Hello, welcome back, Don and Mike.
Hi, thank you.
Just saw an article in the paper the other day about that .com guy that he just passed the 6 month mark and that he legally changed his name to .com guy.
You guy's an idiot. You should really log on the site.
I will. We are a board society.
A lot of the time there's nothing going on, but I'm telling you, on Sunday, I must have hit that site 20 times myself. I would just be sitting there and go, what's a .com guy doing?
That's something Ian O'Malley ought to announce here. You know, hey, listen, to make it more official, he changed his name to .com guy.
Hello, it's Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
I'm back.
Thank you, my friend.
It's awesome to have you guys back.
Thank you. Great to be back.
There's one thing that you guys might have missed from the Big Brother show.
you know how they have the real world and, you know, everybody gets introduced? They haven't introduced the token homo yet. There hasn't been the homo come out and say, yeah, you know, I'm the...
Well, I don't think there is a homo. Yeah, well, I think the article I read by Tom Shales said that they're all heterosexual, I believe.
Which wow. is what pissed Tom Shales off. Really did.
He didn't like that.
He likes to have his homos on TV.
Yeah, got to have a gay guy in there, a gay woman, absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Don, I'm calling from New York. I was wondering if I can catch the secret sound.
Oh, we're not even in our rhythm yet. Call later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye. You'll figure it out when you hear the show tonight.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
He's going to punch us in the eye.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I'm a little confused here, Buzz. The paper up here in Baltimore yesterday, when they did the article on Big Brother,
Right. They
said that the website is even edited because it's coming from the CBS control room as well.
I just said that.
Oh, okay. I thought you said it was live.
No, it is live.
It is live, but Buzz just said that the shots that you see are decided by a director.
Right? A director who I'm sure is editing it for, you know, not showing any poop.
Well, it was because...
Or showering.
Because from my understanding from the article in the paper, they said the TV show is a day behind at all times, as is the website. It was in Baltimore, the paper in Baltimore yesterday.
Oh, you mean it's a day behind?
Yeah, it's a day behind.
Every day except Thursday, when it's a tape highlight.
Yeah, but what about on the web? When you're watching something on the web, are you watching that live, or is that also a day delay?
The paper in Baltimore said that's a day behind.
I had heard it was live, but I don't know.
That is such a ripoff.
I'm sorry, I hate to say that, because, you know, it's part of the CBS family.
CBS!
So,
that sucks.
You guys may want to check that out, I don't know.
And where'd you find that information again?
Baltimore Sun yesterday.
I just wanted you to say a paper in Baltimore again. You said it like a million times. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Bye-bye. Okay, one last call. Hello, Don and Mike.
I wanted you to say a paper in Baltimore.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the call.
That was great. Hello, Don and Mike show. Oh, wait a minute, hold on. Drop main, pick up new. Hello?
Unleash the hounds!
Welcome back.
There he is.
There's my best friend.
It's his way of saying welcome home.
There's my best buddy. Toe tap and touch tones right there. Let's clear these lines out. You know, we've got this secret sound number four that we've been working on before vacation.
Right.
And when we come back with our caller 100, I will give you a blatant clue.
Good.
Really? I mean, well, I'll give it to you now.
All right.
Think automobile. Automobile for secret sound number four. I'd love to give away that money today. You don't have a clue.
I do.
You do not.
I do. It's a briefcase.
You do not. 1-877-365.
Where he needs his plexiglass.
3636.
That's why you need the customized. I'm going to make one in my workshop.
I really don't know the phone number here. It's written down. You know the phone. Call us up. The 1-877-365-3636.
You know, Wendell is, I know he's a busy guy, but Wendell's the kind of guy, that thing that you want in front of the board.
The piece of plexiglass.
You need two little pieces of wood, and you need it to go about halfway up, and then put another little thing of wood across the top, glue it together, and then you'll have your thing, and you rest it right down behind the console. It doesn't have to sit on the console.
No, see, I want to put my picture of Jennifer Aniston up, mm-hmm. and I got my notes from vacation, mm-hmm. and I got my notes about the show, and I got the Taco Bell nachos we're giving away today.
We're giving away nachos from Taco Bell?
Yes, we are.
Nachos from Taco Bell.
Yes, we are. So let's call. And also, I need to write down the phone number because I don't know the phone number. Be the 100th person right now. Good luck.
Remember their secret. F like a whore, but look like the girl next door. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, let me see if I can work this right. There we go. So tapping touch tones, it's time for a call 100. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Get out.
Now get out of town. Who's this?
This is Kelly out of Sacramento.
Kelly, call 100, Mike.
Can't say that, sir.
I just had to dump that out. What kind of idiot says you're S-ing me?
I mean, do you know this radio? We can't do that. Don't you know that?
Yes, I know that. I'm so happy that you guys are back on the radio, and then I get through for the first time on 100.
You know, just
call.
A man who liberally uses profanity in his day-to-day life, and I, you know, he didn't realize it. That's all.
The guy says, I'm caller 100. You're S-ing me. And it wasn't S-H,
right.
I-N, he had the I-N-G. You're
yes, absolutely.
S-ing me.
You're S-ing me.
Listen, you are, in fact, still the 100th caller, and you have won a free order of nachos from Taco Bell.
Ooh,
yeah. Try Taco Bell's new freshly made chips with nacho cheese sauce. But wait, there's more. You've also qualified for tomorrow's weekly giveaway. Lucky for you, it's a short week. Tomorrow, we're giving away a 3-day, 2-night trip for two to Las Vegas, courtesy of Independence Day, now on DVD. Independence Day on DVD. Prepare to be blown away. Are you ready for the Secret Sound? Secret Sound number 4, worth $500. Here's your major elephant-sized clue. Think automobile.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Play you the sound now. Give you 15 seconds to think about it. Please don't answer till Mike sings like...
Vera's husband.
And we wish you...
Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is. Now, I don't know what I can do if I can... to your house and actually write you a roadmap, but I've given you, Robbie, don't you think an obvious clue?
Pretty good clue.
And the odds are in my favor.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm giving you quite an obvious clue. I might as well slap you in your damn face.
Oh, you slap me in the face and there's like two guesses I have, but I'll say it. Oh, cigarette lighter.
Could you be a little more specific?
Pushing in and pulling out a cigarette lighter.
Yeah!
That's right. You got it! That's right. You got it! That's right. And we're not S-ing you. That's incredible.
Oh,
and that makes total sense.
I'm your biggest fan out here.
It makes total sense now that he says it. It was intense. Of course that's what it is.
Think automobile.
A cigarette lighter.
Being
I almost guessed the gas cap, but I should forget it, cigarette lighter.
Listen to it again now. Here it is. Oh, that is perfect.
Very good. Very good. That is excellent. Way to go. Great guess, sir, and it was successful.
Congratulations. You have just won $500.
Whoa, yeah.
And we do thank you for listening to the show. Hold on a second, please.
Where's the hold button? Right there. Hold. Beautiful.
Thank God he didn't say, you are S-ing me.
Man, so simple, yet so complicated.
Told you it was a clue.
Oh, my God.
There I was. I didn't have to slap the guy in the face. He got it.
One clue, bingo, we get a winner.
That is Secret Sound number 4. Do we have number 5 carded up yet?
No, we don't. We'll have it for tomorrow, though.
Oh, that's right. We can't do the new card. See if we can get it before the end of the show.
All right.
Just so we can give everybody a free preview.
Yeah, you can't do the contest until tomorrow, but you can actually play the sound.
Right. So congratulations to that guy, the You're S-ing Me guy from Sacramento. Secret Sound number 4 is, in fact... a car lighter being pushed out and then removed.
You know, it's amazing.
Being pushed in and then pulled out, rather.
When you mic them and you get up close to them, they have actually a different quality of sound, but then when you hear it, you actually know it's dead on. That's great.
Sure, absolutely. Listen to it one more time. Here it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
There it is. Retire that one, Robbie.
That is a good one.
And that was one we considered to be rather easy.
Is that a cigarette lighter from a Caprice Classic?
Yeah, it might be.
There you go.
It might be right from Rob's car.
All right.
It might be.
A big one.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, is this Don and Mike?
Yeah, we are. Hello.
Listen, first off, I'm calling from Jersey, and I'd like to thank you guys for providing such a fine show for the metropolitan area.
Oh, it's nice of you.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. I miss you guys terribly. So did my staff at the job. I'm calling from home right now. I'll be on my way to work in about an hour. And I'd like to, congratulate you guys on your ratings and all, and hope that you guys will be successful.
Hold on. Let me just stop you right here. Are you going to try to guess the secret sound?
If I can.
No, somebody just guessed it.
Yeah, unfortunately, we had somebody from Sacramento, California who just nailed it.
Okay, well, listen, it's okay.
What did you think it was?
A turnstile on a gumball machine.
Yeah,
no, that's not a bad guess. Well, I'll give you the same clue I gave that guy, though. Think automobile.
Think automobile.
Okay.
That's right.
So you guys are tremendous. I just want to extend the...
Thank you. Goodbye. Thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hello.
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 I'm very, very sick.
Well, I have just not feeling too perky.
You guys, I've been very, very sick.
Oh, I don't know, Don.
Not today, Don.
Please, not today.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Like to talk to Don and Mike.
You're on the air with us right now. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Don?
Hello, yes.
Welcome back.
Thank you. We thank you.
And also, a question on Survivor.
Yeah.
How come they didn't have Jarvis at the end running? Because he's supposed to be YMCAE.
But
didn't, is it Jervis or Jarvis?
I think it's Jervis.
Didn't Jervis crap out in one of the running events where he had to go up
and...
Yeah,
he was really out of breath, too.
No endurance. Remember, he was running back with flag from that challenge, and he, like, collapsed on the beach.
That's it.
Well, that's when one guy, Joel, I think, passed him, and it's like he was just, like, waiting there sitting.
Yeah, winning that race didn't do Joel any good, now did it.
Nope, and I thought he would have been stuck around a little bit longer. And Gretchen, I thought they should get rid of her.
I'm telling you, that's a school teacher, right? She is a bitch. I hate that Gretchen.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm really beginning to think that the guy, and this is just the way you and I having dumb luck, that the two guys that are going to be left are going to be Rudy
and Richard.
And Richard. I really believe
Rudy
that.
Rudy and Richard, who should probably get a radio show together.
I know.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rudy. I'm Richard.
And I'm Rudy.
Rudy. Hello, Don, on my show.
Hey, what's up, fool?
Hey, fool.
Hey, what's that website for that Big Brother thing?
What's the website for the Big Brother thing?
What is the CBS website? Is it CBS?
www.bigbrother2000.com.
Very good.
All right, fool, thanks.
All right, thank you, fool.
Goodbye, fool.
There's a guy who can't figure out the website is bigbrother.com, calling us a fool.
Silly fool.
You fool.
Fool.
You fool. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don?
Yes?
How's it going?
Great, thanks.
Just called up because I wanted to give you some Opus X and talk a little cigar talk.
Oh, please, bring the cigars down. That'll
long ashes to you,
bring
sir.
Them down.
Goodbye. Right.
Bring them down now?
Yeah, please do. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Did you notice how Gretchen wrote the J backwards? On Joel's name?
Did you know how we mentioned that already?
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
No, thank you.
Goodbye.
That might have been Lisa's boyfriend. I don't know. Because he has a theory. Maybe he wanted to share it with you.
Okay, let me get right to the vacation.
You laugh now.
Oh, man.
Poor Lisa. You know what?
I know. Poor Lisa. I agree.
She picked the wrong time.
I know.
First break back from vacation.
I know.
New studio. Not acclimated to the new surroundings.
Right, right.
Not loving everything in here.
And then Rob did a little piling on there, you know, in the great tradition of woman-hating in the Spiewak family.
She picked the wrong moment to just walk in like this is the Don and Mike and Lisa show.
That's right. She's not going to show you the Quan today, Rob.
Oh,
that's
well.
For sure.
I think she will.
Yeah. Hey, Lisa.
She comes back for more.
Hey, Lisa, would you give Rob a hug?
She holds no grudges.
After he picked on you again?
Yes, come here, Lisa. Give Rob a hug on microphone two, which will now affectionately be known as Lisa's microphone.
Here she comes.
Please, step up to your microphone, Lisa.
Waving at Buzz. Yes, still a wave for Buzz, though, with all the adversity here.
Of course. Would you hug Rob?
Yeah.
A little sugar?
Thanks.
Here we go.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Oh. And you know I don't mean it. I think because I love.
I'm a big girl. I can take it.
That's good. Good for you, Lisa.
Thank you.
And you know I mean it.
Yes, I do.
Don't come in here unless we call for you. Thank you.
Rob.
What?
I just thought I'd say Rob.
Okay, the vacation. All right, we're going to get right to it now.
You have seemed to me like you need to purge.
Rob.
Rob.
Rob. Oh, Rob.
Rob. Rob.
Rob.
Rob.
Rob. Yeah.
Rob.
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 May.
Rob.
May.
Rob.
Yeah, you know, I was better when we got done with the first break. Now that I'm a little more comfortable in the new surroundings, I've kind of figured out a way to jerry-rig things to run stuff okay. I'm sure I'll be more comfortable after I'm able to tell you about my vacation.
It was a dream vacation?
It was not a dream vacation.
All right.
It was not one of those awful, all-time worst vacations ever. It was just a bunch of little things that kept happening.
Familia.
That made it less than a great vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a bunch of factors that came to play. One of the factors was the fact that my kid got a job at the beach, which meant that we would have to get up in the morning and take him to his job, and then we would have to rearrange our schedules at night to go pick him up and bring him back home.
Okay.
And generally, because he's now finding out what it's like to actually go to a job every day, he would come home at night and would not be the happiest boy on the block.
So he's logging a whole eight-hour day, regular work day?
But he worked a double shift on the 4th of July.
Can't get him one of those mopeds or something like that? Would he have been able to make it to your house? It's too far away.
Yeah, it's too far away.
Okay.
So that's the first factor. And there's some pressure there. We're letting him go off into the world. We're letting him work now. He's gone for 8, 9, 10 hours at a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some arguments about that, about how much freedom he should have, about if he should have to call in every once in a while, there was just too much fighting with me and Frida over the vacation.
Mm-hmm.
There was fighting about Bart working. There was fighting about what movie to go see. There was fighting about how when I laid on the couch last night and watched Survivor, it appeared to her that I looked like Otis from the Andy Griffith Show.
The compliments are flying.
And this coming on the heels of the fact that she busts my balls so much about what I eat,
mm-hmm,
that I virtually have abandoned eating red meat now. I ate no crap on this vacation. She got on my ass, and rightly so, about exercising. Every day of the vacation, she got my bicycle fixed. And I went out and rode my bike, and I started riding 1 mile, then I rode 2 miles, then I rode 6 miles. Ended up, by the end of vacation, I'm riding 10 miles on my goddamn bicycle,
mm-hmm,
but it's not enough for her because she says we should exercise together.
Right.
Okay, this is where we had one of our biggest arguments, was the exercise argument.
Well, that's tough. If you're on your vacation, I mean, that's when you're supposed to, I guess, do the opposite. You come back to work, then you start the exercise. If you're doing it on vacation, that's tough time to start it.
It's not that I minded starting it. Here was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
She says, you need to exercise. I say, you're right. I don't run every day. I don't do all the crap that I should do. You're right. I'll do it. Get up like clockwork every day. Go do it. Then she says to me, I want to have a friend who I can exercise with. We should be more friendly when we exercise. I want to exercise with you because she's in this thing now where she's going to some gym with her girlfriend, Bunny, and they're working out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, let's go for bike rides together. And I said, okay, that's fine. So one morning we got up, we get on the bicycles, we take off, and I'm not out there to go 1 mile an hour.
Right. And have a leisurely bike ride.
Right. I mean, I'm out there to work. So all I'm hearing
you like Jane Gulch pedaling your ass off out there and, just go flying down there with a little Toto in your basket?
All I'm hearing behind me.
Frida, keep up!
All I'm hearing behind me is, slow down!
Right.
Slow down! Slow down! So I would slow down and I would do that thing where I would actually start pedaling backwards. I have a 10-speed bike.
Right.
And I would actually just pedal backwards. I'm just coasting along, waiting for her to catch up. And she would say, the doctor says that you're not getting the best exercise unless you can have a conversation while you're exercising.
That's what I've heard, that if you have to be able to breathe regularly and, be able to talk, that's right. Then you're getting the aerobic benefit.
And I said to her, what I enjoy, if I'm going to exercise, I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to do is try to go faster and try to go farther every day. And she said, well, no, it's no fun because then we're not exercising together. So this was like the type of argument we would have. And normally, I think this might even be like opening the door to what life will be like when Bert goes to college. Because normally, we would have an argument like this, and the argument would be settled because he'd be around and we'd all do something together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of a sudden we have this argument and there's no buffer.
Right. He's okay? Not there.
He's not there. And she would get pissed at me. She said, well, you're going too fast on the bike ride. Mm-hmm. I said, well, listen, I'm doing this to exercise. So then I said, how about a compromise? How about I'll go out for my bike ride in the morning, then I'll come back and I'll get you, and then we can go for a slow bike ride. And she said, well, that's good. That's fine. So we did that one day. And I'm bored out of my mind.
You don't like going slow and just...
No.
Because you've gone fast.
Yeah, I mean, I've already been out. I come back, I'm drenched with sweat. And I come in and I go, okay, I'm ready. Let's go. And my wife really does have a bicycle. Like the wicked witch like Dorothy's bicycle. Mm-hmm. She got the old girl Schwinn,
right,
that's got a basket in front where she actually puts our dog. You know, it's very much like Dorothy and Toto.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Yeah, so she actually puts the dog in there.
Yeah, she put the dog in. And, you know, I'm riding a 10-speed, and I'm going at a good pace, and she's riding a bike like from the 1950s. Mm-hmm. And the thing is going very slowly, and I'm finding that even when we were going on the slow bike ride, that on more than one occasion, I actually almost fell off the bicycle. We were going so slowly.
Right.
So this was a big part of the whole thing. All throughout the vacation was the fact that we got to do more stuff together. Mm-hmm. That we got to exercise together. That we got to play games together. That we got to start talking more. We got to communicate more. And the more that she said that, the more it was driving me crazy. You know, we want to go to the movies. Well, I want to go see Me and Myself and Irene. And she said, well, of course you want to go see Me, Myself and Irene. It's always what you want to see. I want to go see The Perfect Storm, but you want to go see Me, Myself and Irene. So we get to the theater, and I buy the ticket. I buy the tickets for Me, Myself and Irene.
And there's a fight there.
Right. She said, I don't want to see Me, Myself, and Irene. I said, it's too bad. We're going to go see Me, Myself, and Irene. And then, as it turns out, we also went to see A Perfect Storm.
Not a bad movie either, right?
Which was all right. And Me, Myself, and Irene was a damn funny movie.
I can't wait to see it. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
But, I'm not getting my message across about...
You're talking about sustained conflict is what you're talking about.
Yes, and it was there underneath the surface throughout the entire vacation.
Mm.
And it came to a head one day when we were arguing about my kid was going to get off work at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
She had made some arrangement with a friend down there for him to go to this friend's house, and then we'd go out to dinner, and sometime later we would pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ocean City is a big town,
right?
You know, for a 15-year-old kid to be on the week of 4th of July alone,
loads of people there.
And I said to her, what plans have you made? And she said, oh, I've not made any plans. We'll figure it out later. He'll leave work. He'll go to Bunny's house. He'll be fine. I said, really? Did you discuss this with Bunny? And she said, no. I said, what kind of job is this? I mean, he is only 15. He's old enough to work,
mm-hmm.
but he's not yet old enough to drive by himself. I don't know if I want him roaming around Ocean City all night. Who knows where he's going to be going, what he's going to be doing. You don't seem to be concerned about it. And then she said to me, well, if you feel that way, why don't you make the plans? Why don't you call Bunny? That's our friend Bunny, who also has a place down in Ocean City. And I said, well, if I was you, I would have already called Bunny to work this out. Then she said, well, you're not me, and I didn't, so why don't you just pick up the phone and call her? So I said, okay.
This wasn't going on while you were riding bikes, was it?
No, this was in the car. She's driving, and I'm riding.
Right, I'm just checking.
So I pick up the phone. I say, what's Bunny's phone number? She says, just push send. Says, like, Bunny's the only person she calls.
Mm-hmm.
Push send. I get Bunny. Go, hi, Bunny. Hi, it's me. Hey, did Frieda talk to you about Bart coming over tonight? Oh, really? She didn't, huh? And I'm looking at Frieda like this. And Frieda's looking back at me. And right away, she wants the phone. She wants the phone. I said, no, you can't have the phone. I said, Bunny,
You're taking care of it.
I said, here's the deal. We're going to pick Bart up at his job. And then we're going to bring him down to your house, and then we're going to go have dinner, and then we're going to pick him up at about 9 o'clock. How does that sound? And Bunny said, that sounds great. I said, thank you. Goodbye. Hang up the phone. Then she turns to me, and she said, why'd you do that? I said, because you told me to. Because you told me to make the decisions. She says, well, I never asked Bunny for sure if Bart could go to her house. You have just intruded on Bunny's privacy. You've just invited him over. I said, wait a minute, hold on. How could have I invited him over when you told me all along that the plan was that Bart was going to get off his job and go to Bunny's house? Well, I hadn't really run it by Bunny yet. I said, exactly, that's why I'm pissed. That you got to have more of a plan than the plan we're working on. That is pretty much an illustration of how the entire vacation went.
Little stuff that just was sustained in every single day.
It would just get blown out of proportion. And one day she came to me and she said, are you ever going to smile at me? And I said to her,
oh, dear. Oh, dear.
I said,
just late in the vacation that comment was made.
She said, are you ever going to smile at me? I said, are you ever going to get off my ass about stuff? And she said, what have I been on your ass about? And then I started up, and then she started up,
right.
And then I said, have you taken your hormone pills recently?
Oh, dear.
Because I think your hormones are a little out of whack,
mm-hmm.
And then she came back, and she yelled at me a little bit, and then, you know, it was that night, I think, that she said, you know what we all need to do? We all need to just play a nice board game together.
That solves everything.
And I said, great, that's great. You know, I don't want to play a freaking board game, but I said, fine. What's the board game? Mike, it was a home version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Hey, there you go. That's the way to do it.
And, of course, when you're playing the home version, you can't just take out the card and read the question. You have to put the card in a little plastic thing that has four little slidey windows.
Let me ask you about this. We played some of those kind of, I think we played, we might have played the Jeopardy home game up there. At one point, there was another game too. I forgot what it was called. But at one point, we just chucked all the plastic stuff and all the stuff you have to mess around with and just went around the room and actually modified the game and played it that way.
I would love to do it like that. Unfortunately, in the world of Frida, you have to do everything.
Oh, okay.
You have to do everything exactly as the rules of the game say.
Mm-hmm.
The rules of the game say that you take the little card, which looks like the bottom of the screen on The Millionaire Show,
right,
and you put it in the little plastic holder, then you ask the question, and if the person wants 50-50, you slide two of the little doors open,
right,
and then you show it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And why are we wasting time putting the cards into these little plastic things and sliding the doors? Why don't we just say, no, here are your choices for 50-50. Your choice is either Coca-Cola or A&W root beer. She said, no, because that's not the way we play the game. So we played the game.
Properly.
We played it properly.
By the rules.
And we played it exactly the way that the rules said.
Mm-hmm.
With each one of us, myself, Bart and Fruity, each being the host.
Right.
And the other people playing against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as always, when we're playing this game, there was some question came up, and Frida said, I want to use a lifeline. And I said, okay. And I thought that she
would... What do you do, call the neighbors or what?
No, she wanted to call a lady in England. It was a question about what a... something to do with the metric system, something to do with measurements in England.
Now, when she has to use a lifeline and you say you're the host, do you have to make the phone call and identify yourself as...
No. This is what was...
Hi, Don Geronimo, host of the home version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
This is what's driving me crazy. We're sitting on the back porch. We're sitting out on the deck playing this game. And she says, you know, I don't know that answer. And meanwhile, there's been like 5 minutes waiting for my wife to answer this question.
Well, there's no time limit on the real show.
She says, I want to use a lifeline. And I think that she's just going to go next door and ask her mother,
right,
who conveniently lives next door, go one door down to her sister-in-law. She says, no, I want to call Sarah. Okay, Sarah's in London. She goes inside to get the telephone, and I hear she's coming outside with the telephone, and I lose it again. I say, wait, no, you know what? You're making it too complicated. I said, I'm not going to sit here and wait for you to call Sarah to ask Sarah about a question for something in London. I said, just guess. It's a 50-50. Just guess. And she says, well, the rules say that I can call anybody I want.
Oh, no.
Ah, the rules are killing me in this game.
Was the board tipped over at that point?
No. I kept it under control. I mean, these are small, finite points of the vacation. These were the flare-ups,
mm-hmm,
where it just became apparent that, for whatever reason, I was getting under her skin,
mm-hmm,
and she was getting under my skin. You know, and it was all stuff like that. And when I would come home with something that I thought would be enjoyable, that I would want to share with her, she wouldn't want to share it with me. Like, I really did see this. When I was out, one day I was out, I had taken my fabulous jet ski out,
mm-hmm,
okay? And I was riding around the bay, and I went back to this real secluded area, and I swear to God I saw this. There was a guy who was also on a jet ski, who was maybe a half mile away. We're in the middle of nowhere, in this back cove area. The guy actually had his pants around his ankles and was on the back end of his jet ski like this, and he was squeezing out one.
Oh, yeah.
The guy was taking a dump.
Oh, my.
The guy was taking a BM.
Oh, my God.
On the back end of his jet ski.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, hey, that's pretty fun.
That's pretty intense.
So I came back.
No toilet paper on a jet ski.
I came back and I told her about this. I said, I just saw the funniest thing ever, thinking that I've got something that's going to lighten the mood. I said, you want me to smile? Look at this. I'm smiling now.
If he really wanted that to be a challenge, he would have done it while his jet ski was moving.
So I just saw a guy take a crap on his jet ski.
Did you drive over where he'd been?
No. Oh, no.
See if there was any evidence?
No, I didn't. No.
See if there was a baby Ruth in the water?
No, I did, but that was the highlight. Sad to say, that's the highlight of my vacation.
Was not a bad highlight, though.
Watching a guy take a BM from his jet ski.
That is really not a bad. And you didn't get the
response you wanted.
No, I didn't get the response. She just said, you know, that's typical that you think that's funny. And I guess the other thing I want to tell you about this weekend was just about the vacation was, I guess it was on the Sunday before the 4th of July when they were having a surprise birthday shower for two of the nieces in the family, Kelly's wife, Brandy, and Marty's wife, Kate. Two guys who are about the same age, their early 20s. They both got their wives pregnant, so they're going to have a surprise baby shower for them at my brother-in-law Doug's house, which is about a half mile from our house in Ocean City. So I said to her, fine, great, I'll be there. I'm ready for a day with your family. Let's do it. I go out to the driveway. I get in the car, and she says, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to drive up to Doug's house. She says, no, you can't drive. I said, why? It's 100 degrees. I don't want to walk. I've already done my exercise today. I already rode 10 miles on a bicycle. She said, no, it's a surprise party that Kelly and Brandy and Martin and Katie, they can't see any cars.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this was a small, minute thing.
About how far is it?
Roughly a half mile. A small, minute thing that became gigantic, where I said, you know what? T.S., I'm driving up there. I don't think that if they see my car, that it's going to blow the surprise that it's a baby shower for
them. Right. It's another one of these little ones, though.
Yes, and it was a little one, and I got in the car, and I drove up there. And when she came hiking up with the rest of her family, the first thing she did, she came inside, she pulled me aside, and she said, incidentally, the mothers of the girls having the babies, they would like you to move the truck that they know that the girls will know that it's a surprise party. I said, okay, like the girls already maybe don't know that it's a surprise party.
Right.
That there's girls who are 5 months pregnant and for some strange reason they've been dragged to the beach on a 100 degree day. And now in tandem, they're both being brought back home at exactly 3 o'clock. And incidentally, they had us get to the house at 1:45. Because the party was supposed to start at 2.
Yeah.
The girls didn't arrive until 3. So there was, like, just an extra hour of just twiddling my thumbs with all of these.
Well, what guy doesn't want to wait for a baby shower for an hour and a half?
All of these other relatives who I didn't even know. So if there's another big conference and Frida comes over and she says, listen, final decision. You can keep the car here, but you have to move it away from the house. You have to go park down by the townhouses. I said, okay, whatever.
And is that the time when you put the car in four-wheel drive and drove it around in back of the yard?
No, she said, well, you realize that if you do this, what you'll be doing is virtually, you'll be taking the car halfway home.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you just go the extra step and take the car all the way home?
And that's the matter of principle.
And I said, no, I told you it's 100 degrees. I don't feel like walking all the way. I'll do what you asked. I will take the car and park it down by the townhouses.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down by the townhouses, hiked all the way back, and came back and waited. And this baby shower that I went to.
Guys, you know, baby showers aren't for men. No.
No.
At all.
And my brother-in-law, Doug. But first of all, I'd like to thank Doug because he did get me out of a huge bit of this. Because one of the first things he said to me when I walked in the door was, he said, would you do me the honor of running the grill?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, absolutely. You know why? Because that would get me outside on the deck.
Sure.
And away from all the junk going on inside.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy to have that. I almost felt like it was some kind of a macho thing that he was saying, please take the grill.
Yeah, you get out there, cook the meat while the women folk are inside.
So I thought it was a compliment. And at one point when I was waiting to put the burgers and the hot dogs on, I walked by my brother-in-law, Doug, and he was on the internet. And I said, what are you doing? I was going to tell him about this .com guy. And he says, I'm downloading some great baby shower games you're going to be playing. And I said, okay.
It's a guy doing this?
Yeah, my brother-in-law, Doug.
Okay.
So we get done with the cookout.
Baby shower games.
Everybody's sitting inside. And here's one of the games that they played. They got the two fathers-to-be, Kelly and Marty.
Did I miss something when my wife was pregnant with two? I don't think guys had to go to baby showers.
No.
I think it was like, I never went to a baby
shower. These two guys had to go.
Really?
And it's worse than any Christmas morning because there had to be 50 people at this baby shower.
Yeah.
And the two couples sat in the front of the room in these big chairs with the pink and blue bows on them. And as they opened every gift, it would be this. It would be, oh, what could this be?
Oh, look. Pacifiers.
And then they would.
Did you go to a baby shower when your wife was pregnant?
No, of course not.
I never went to a baby shower.
Then they would pass whatever gift it was.
Oh, my God. That's hell.
Around the room. So after all of that, my brother-in-law Doug comes out with this list of games from the internet. And he says, here's the first game we're going to play. He had a whole bunch of jars of baby food.
Who's your daddy?
He had taken the labels off the jars of baby food, and he wanted people to eat the baby food to try to identify.
Oh, I got something you can eat if they want me to do
try
that.
To identify what the baby food was.
Oh, my God. It's strained
peaches. Yeah, so, of course, I refused to play.
Yeah.
You know, got a nice dirty look from my wife because I refused to eat the baby food. But I sat there while they all, and he had gone to great time and expense on this. He had actually printed out forms with numbered from 1 to 12, so as you tasted each baby food, you could...
Yeah, right. I know you're rolling your eyes.
I'm sorry. Come on. As you take a spoon and go, carroty. You'd write down carrot for number one. Then after everybody in the room sampled all this, Doug stood up and he read the answers.
Now, is Doug one of the fathers in this situation?
Doug, his son is one of the guys whose wife is having a baby.
Okay. All right.
He's the grandpa to be.
He's the grandpa to be.
But
grandpas to be are supposed to be at baby showers. I think this is part of the rules. This is the life rule book that says grandpas and fathers, you know, the grandpas to be and fathers are supposed to be out like on the golf course somewhere. They're supposed to be out.
No, we were all
doing a game while the baby shower's going. That's the way I understood it.
But the other game did make me laugh. I'm
okay.
Going to tell you why the other game made me laugh. He got baby dolls and he had a game where the husband and the wife had to each hold, if they, for instance, were right-handed.
Right.
They had to stand next to each other in front of the kitchen counter, hold each other's right hands,
mm-hmm.
and using the hand that was not their natural hand, like in the case of Kelly and Brandy, they would have to, with their left hands working together, take this baby doll and change its diaper.
Okay.
What made this interesting was that both Kelly and Marty, by the time they played this game, had maybe... about 100 beers each.
Oh, wow. Kelly and Marty, the two guys.
Right, the two dads.
I was going to say, Kelly's not one of the moms.
No.
Just checking. I don't know all the principles here, and I just want to make sure I'm getting this right.
This is the first part of the baby shower that I'm enjoying, because what I'm seeing is both of these guys wearing they both had on aprons that had, like, girly stuff on them. They're both pretty close to being bombed out of their mind.
Right.
And they're trying to do this thing where they got the arm behind their back and the other hand. And meanwhile, the poor baby dolls, like, the heads are being smashed into the
right.
formica.
It's a lesson for new dads out there. Don't change the diaper with one hand when you're drunk.
Yes. There's baby powder going everywhere. The babies are sliding off the countertops. It was, you know.
So that was a pleasant moment during the shower.
Yes. That was the only pleasant
moment. The pleasant moment during the shower.
Well, no. I had a very good time outside.
Right.
When I was grilling.
And were the guys hanging together? Was it all time where the guys and girls had to be there?
There were a few of us who gathered outside.
That's good.
And as a matter of fact, there was a small rebellious group that included myself, my brother-in-law Bill, who I want to say I would not have made it through this entire vacation without my brother-in-law Bill.
Isn't he your favorite brother-in-law?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you talk about him very fondly.
Yeah, he's a great guy. It was him, me, and this other guy, Pat. We had been at this party for roughly 2 hours.
Oh, my God.
And the girls hadn't even arrived yet, the girls who were having the baby. So we were sitting out on the back porch. At that point, there was already martinis involved.
There you go.
I had already taken Bill back to our house to get a couple of martinis. And we were sitting on the back porch having a martini and a cigar, and this other guy, Pat, was having a beer and having a cigarette. We were sitting back there, and somebody came through the back door and said, "Hey, the girls are here. The girls are here. Come on inside." And we said, "Okay, we'll be right there." And we didn't move.
And of course. And you laughed about it.
And we heard when they came in the door, all the other people said, "Surprise!" And then somebody came out and said, "Oh, you guys missed the surprise." And I said, no, we didn't miss the surprise. The surprise was that the party was supposed to start at 2. But it's 3 o'clock. So we sat outside, the three of us, The Three Amigos for roughly the first half hour of the baby
shower.
It's
important. I think it's important in all family gatherings to have to be well representative, you know, with males. I just do. I think that it's good to have same sex gatherings, you know, where at least you can have some guys together and some girls together. I always think that adds a little balance. When you're outnumbered, things kind of work badly.
And I don't know. I mean, it's not that the vacation was bad, because it wasn't bad. I mean, I generally had a pretty decent time with my wife. There were just these occasional flare-ups.
And just to recap, the highlight would be the guy taking the dump off the back of the jet ski.
Oh, absolutely.
Boy, I tell you, that's when you always should carry a digital camera.
That was the best moment. And, of course, no vacation would be complete without the lecture on the final night about how much I'd been drinking.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just drinking too much.
The final night, when it was pointed out to me that I drank virtually every night of the vacation. You know, what's not noticed is that my wife was drinking too, but the fact that when I drink and I fall asleep on the couch, I start to snore, that becomes a problem.
Yeah. Well, you know,
one night at our house, it was me and Frida and my brother-in-law Bill and my wife's sister Robin, and we had all been having adult beverages and maybe even playing a drinking game or two. I believe that at one point, if you walked into the house, you would have seen myself, my brother-in-law, and my sister-in-law, the three of us on the couch, all of us about 9:15, with our heads back, I guess.
Sound asleep.
Conversely, my wife thinks it's cute that my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law were in this condition.
Right.
However, I become Otis from the Andy Griffith Show when I'm in this condition. Okay?
So putting yourself in.
It was a lot of that this weekend.
That's good.
This entire holiday.
Yep.
And I believe here she is now.
Put her right through. Put her right through. Hello.
Well, hello, Boo-Boo.
Hi, darling.
I've been enjoying your stories. I just thought I'd add one more to it that I didn't tell you.
What's that?
But yesterday, you know, when we were all on the beach and you left early and I was there with the twins and Robbie and Bart and the pal.
Yeah.
Well, we were picking up trash, you know, and getting ready to get off the beach about 5. And one of the twins picked up your water bottle. And I guess he was thirsty, but he went to take a sip from it and he went, "Oh, this tastes like Uncle Mike's breasts." They were passing it around.
It tastes like my breasts?
Yes.
It tastes like my breasts?
Yes. It smelled like your breath.
Your breath. Oh, breath.
Oh, your breath.
I thought you said breasts. Oh, why? Because I'd been smoking cigars on the beach?
No, everybody was. All the kids were passing around going, "Oh, it smelled like Uncle Mike's breath."
So you're welcome.
Well, there you go.
Vacation is still continuing.
Fun, if you fun, can fun. Amuse the kids, yeah. your vacation is a success.
Yeah, the kids are daring each other to smell it. All right, though, that was just one story I forgot to tell you.
Okay.
All right.
You think, is there anything you want to throw in?
No, I'm not going to correct everything, my darling. You can leave the story stand the way you told them.
What do you need to correct?
Everything, but that's all right.
Like what? Correct what?
I don't even know where to start. My friend that I was going to call, she's from England. She's not in England. You know, just everything, but that's fine. You tell them your way.
Okay, but either way, it's slowing down the game to have to go call somebody.
Sugar Bear, that is the game.
Didn't you say Sarah from England, though?
Yes, from. Not. I didn't say Sarah in England.
Okay, what else would you like to correct?
No, it's Sugar Bear, there's too much. You just do it all your way.
No, come on. I'm open to both sides of the coin here. What else?
Look, after 18 years, I know it's futile, but you see, you have it all in your mind, your way, that's fine.
What else? No, come on.
No, Boo, no. No, thanks. I don't feel like rehashing. We made that mistake years ago when we went to marriage counseling, that if we start rehashing it, we just have these arguments over again. So, no, that's all right. That's fine.
Well, what did I mention that was not correct?
Are you not hearing what I'm saying, or are you ignoring?
What is that? Is this the thing about taking Bart to work that night?
No. Are you not hearing that?
She's saying she doesn't want to rehash.
Not going to rehash them.
I would just be interested to know how I misrepresented things that happened on the vacation.
I understand that you would be interested, but I am too tired and too tired of the arguments to have them again. That's it. Well, just let them go. Let them be the way you told them.
Well, I would like my audience to think that I was telling them the way that it really was.
Well, I think by now your audience knows that you don't tell things the way they really
are. Oh, how cool. Give me an example. Just give me one example.
I gave you one example.
What's the example? That
I just gave you the England example. I mean, that was easy because that was one sentence. I'm not going to go into all the examples.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Goodbye, sir.
But it was annoying to want to call somebody.
I'm sorry I was playing the game.
When we were playing a stupid board game. And how come we had to put the cards into those little plastics?
I'm sorry. I wanted to play a board game with you and bike with you and do things with you on vacation.
I told you.
I am sorry.
Honey, I told you I like doing things with you.
Right, yeah.
Like when we did the...
Like
when
what?
I tried to explain to you about the exercising.
Mm-hmm. You didn't want to bike with me during your exercise, and that I was holding you back. I remember you telling me I was in better shape than you, but that's all right.
You are in better shape than me, but you couldn't keep up with me that day we went for that bike ride.
Sugar, I could have gone for hours. You were the one...
At a very slow pace. It was like, I'm on a thoroughbred, you're on a donkey.
All right, Boo, you're the one who was apologizing to me for your lack of fitness, but you can tell it that I was huffing and puffing to keep up with you.
Pardon me?
Excuse me?
Pardon me? When was I apologizing for my lack of fitness?
You were saying, I'm sorry, I'm not in as good a shape as you.
Okay. The first day that we went on a bike ride together, well, she wants to go 10 miles the first day.
Right.
We'd gone about 5 miles, and I said, you know what? You know, I've had enough for today, for my first day of actually going out and just riding a bike until kingdom come.
No, you're right. You know what?
That's enough.
Idiot me, I keep thinking we can do stuff together. My mistake.
I told you we can do stuff together.
My mistake. Oh, and it was so enjoyable whenever we tried.
What was unenjoyable?
Yeah, everything. You just told about everything.
All right.
All right.
Let me just say for the record, we did have some good times.
Yeah, we have.
We did have some good times on this vacation.
It sounded like you had a little togetherness.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, it sounded like you did a lot together.
That was the problem.
Yes, we were very much together the entire vacation.
A little too much togetherness.
The entire vacation. Maybe not enough hormones.
Okay.
All right.
Too few martinis, not enough hormones. That's a lethal combination.
Well, maybe a few more hormones would lead to a few less martinis.
Mm-hmm. All right, maybe that's it.
Maybe that is it.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Love you.
Right. Welcome back.
Welcome
right.
home.
Right. Well, it sounded like it was a lovely time.
Told you.
And you had it so well.
I told you. So I'm glad to be back.
Here we all are.
Remember, look, it was just 4 months ago I came back from vacation. I said, you know what? I never want to come back to work again.
That was a little tension right there. That was a little real, real tension.
Right. Back from vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Oh, yes.
So how was yours?
Oh, we have to do a break. I'm sorry. That was quite.
I have to recover from that.
That's quite a bit of therapy right there.
I told you, I won't go into the details because I don't want my wife to call the show again because, we had one big one too. One day. We didn't have a lot of little ones. We had one huge fight.
Well, why wouldn't you just talk about the one big one?
Because it was horrible. It was a bad fight. It was an evil, terrible, rotten fight.
Why?
And if I rehash it, it'll be disaster. And I don't care to.
Come on.
No, it would make me look like a very mean man.
Oh, come on! I look like a prince right now?
No, you don't look like a prince, but that's your thing. And we're not going to stop doing that. We're not going to start doing that now because my wife will call and I don't want that to happen again.
Okay.
Scares the crap out of me.
All right, well, time out. Let's do a quick break.
But there's some other interesting things that happened on the vacation.
Okay.
Including the very beginning of the vacation.
Okay, time out. We will do that when we come right back.
If it helps, cover their faces with your thumb while you listen. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, hold off on that, Mike. We have to do a quick break here. I've just been informed we've gone nearly 2 hours.
Man, it seems like it was a half an hour.
I'd only done like one commercial set, so we'll just dive through a couple of calls.
Hello again.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, Mike. My name's Mark, and I'm in Arlington, and you just proved gay couples are no different from straight couples.
How did Mike prove that?
Well, he and Frieda talking about vacation. My wife and I have listened to you two for 15 years.
You know, my wife Frieda and I spent a lot of time together on the vacation. And, she's just telling me I need to eat well and drink less.
Well, what was fun?
I had a giant fight with my wife Laura, but I won't talk about it.
Because she might call in if you do that.
Yeah, it was a big public fight we had.
Right, absolutely.
Well,
my other half.
Mike didn't say that.
Anal retentive.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that?
Mike just told Don that in the office.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
It was out in public. Right. Well, it's the only way it could be. What was that, sir? You were talking about my wife, Frida?
My other half said that he's as anal retentive as Frida, and I'm as freewheeling as you. And we've been sitting here laughing because we have the same kind of discussion.
Thank you. Would you have any Fuente Opus X's? Thank you for calling.
Would you recommend a golf course for me?
You guys are great.
Thank you.
Bye.
Have you tried the new Heineken
keg can?
The keg can?
Oh, it's fantastic.
So we're just doing a little role reversal here.
Absolutely.
And things have never been better between me and Marcia. All is well.
How are you and Carrie doing, Rob?
We're very excited about the baby. And
I keep forgetting that. Yeah. I forgot that.
Ed, Buzz and Carrie are having a baby.
Yes, we're very excited about it.
Rob and Carrie.
Well, you know, it's
total role reversal, though. We're all different people. That's the way we're doing it.
I know, but if... I understand. I gotcha. Okay. Right. Buzz is Rob, but we're not saying that Buzz is Rob.
That's right. Buzz is Rob. This is Rob is Buzz.
Right.
I am you. You are me.
Right. And we are all together. Gotcha. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye, Don.
Goodbye. Whatever. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. Glad to have you back.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, Don, you are right. Frida is not allowed to call somebody when playing the home version. She can ask somebody playing, and that is the way you phone a friend in the board game.
Does it say that? Hold on. Does it say that in the instructions?
Yes, it does. I played the game. We went over the instructions. In the instructions, you can ask one of the participants playing the game, and they take their little card with what they think the answer is, and then whoever's playing the host takes the card with the real answer. They hand that to the person who's supposed to be guessing. And now, answer.
I want to play the game with this guy.
Me too. You know, if I had not just called my wife off the air with my tail between the legs, going, "You still love me, right?" I would call her now to tell her that, but I will not.
Well, she's probably listening,
or maybe not.
I don't think she is.
Very good.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Is this Don?
Yeah, and Mike.
Oh, hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, fine.
Listen, I was watching MTV, and they've got Leah Remedy on this thing called Say What Karaoke.
Leah Remedy?
Yeah, that little hottie from that CBS channel.
You know, I need a good cold remedy.
You know, Mike, Leah Remedy from that CBS channel.
Right.
Leah Remedy, good actress.
Thank you.
Yeah, sugar.
Look. She's on the show King and Queens.
King and Queens,
hey,
absolutely.
Buzz?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Hey, Buzz.
Yeah.
Well, you've got, like, the biggest fan club over here, man. You're the best.
Oh, that's good to hear.
There you go, Buzz. Praise, Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Where?
I tell you, Buzz really knows how to remedy a situation.
Yeah. Not at Mike's show.
I'm very proud.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
This is Helen.
Yeah, Helen?
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 Don?
What?
I'm chewing you out, how insensitive you are to your wife and her hormones. My gosh, you better kiss up to her hormones or the one she has left this evening.
Meow.
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 Come. Are you there?
Yeah, honey. What?
How can you do that, your sweet wife? She is the best thing you've got going in your life.
I am not arguing with you about that. I'm just telling you, we had a crappy vacation.
Yeah, but don't slam her hormones. That is so insensitive of you. I could just spit right now.
Honey, that's why she's so all over the place, because her hormones are out of whack.
Well, why don't you try to help her with it instead of picking on it?
How have I tried to pick on it?
Well, you said all those awful things about her hormones.
Oh, you might not have heard that well. You might not have heard. You might need a hearing aid.
Yeah, I think so.
You sure might.
You better kiss up to her tonight.
Boy, if I was with you, I'd give you a hearing aid.
I would give you something else.
Oh.
Would you really?
Yes.
What, are your hormones all out of whack, honey?
Yes, they are. I'm going through the same problem.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so your husband, when you drive him crazy, what does he do?
Driving crazy which way?
With your hormones.
He bought a motorcycle.
Oh, trouble.
Oh, that bastard! Oh, how dare he bought a motorcycle, that son of a bitch!
You guys just better be a little more sensitive. It might help things a whole bunch.
All right, okay. Goodbye, Helen Cunny.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
I bet he bought him. I bet he came home with a motorcycle, and that was her chance to open up the gates of hell.
Right. You better believe it.
Sure.
What is that in the driveway? It's yours?
I think I'm going to get a motorcycle.
Please,
go ahead.
Park it between your legs.
Yeah, don't bother getting a helmet, though.
Mike, show.
Hello.
Well, aren't we all sweet?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Don, I just want to tell you, you are a prince. My husband would never, ever go to a baby shower.
Thank
early
you.
Or
you know, you do deserve your props for that.
Yeah.
For attending the
I
baby
had no
shower.
Choice. Everybody went.
Everybody in the family.
My husband
everybody.
Would never do that. And drive the car. And then I can't imagine. You have the patience of a saint. I just want to tell you, you
thank
must
you.
Be a wonderful, wonderful husband.
I am the greatest. Thank
because
you, darling.
I wouldn't even, my husband, forget it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, darling.
Okay.
Would you mind if I drank every night?
Well, as long as I was drinking with you.
On vacation, would you mind if I drank 14 nights in a row? That was a bit of a stumbling block when she pointed out, when she counted up, she said, you realize it's 14 nights in a row you've had a martini.
Right. So she said as long as she's drinking with you. Same room?
Same room?
Yeah, would you have to be in the same room?
No.
Okay, so you could drink in one part of the house, you could drink in another?
Yeah.
Done.
I don't know if it's a big enough house. Sure.
There you
thank
go,
you, honey.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank
okay.
you. Bye-bye.
Hello.
Hello. Don and Mike.
Yeah, Don, this is Jack, the blind guy that pitched in your softball league, and I'm calling you with, I know you have a funny show. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
I've been listening to Frida, and I'm not going to pile on Frida, but Frida needs to sit back and realize really what a wonderful provider you are. What a great father.
You know, Mike,
you
let me say something. Sometimes it takes a blind person to point out that something that those with the gift of sight.
Well, that's right. And I can't keep a relationship for a day. But Frida, you need to really stop busting the Don's balls because
I have heard, and this is just, I've heard that actually the perceptive power.
Now, Mike, you better look out. You'll be getting in trouble.
A blind folks, they can perceive more. And I believe this gentleman is, well, let me just say he's the final word on this.
That's just,
go ahead, sir. I didn't mean to interrupt. Continue because you were offering expert analysis.
No, I'm not, because I can't keep a good quality relationship for a day, but I'm just saying.
Well, you're blind.
Well, and nobody wants to go with a blind guy. Now,
right, that's what I'm saying.
But the point I'm making is, Frida, get a friggin' life. If the man wants to drink a martini on vacation, let him drink. If you bitch at him for exercising and then he wants to ride a bike 1 mile an hour, he can't get a life, Frida. That's
all right.
What I'm going to say, and you all do a great job, Bob.
Thank you, Jack.
Jack the blind guy, the only guy who truly understands me.
Jack, you know, people are taking sides right now, and I'll tell you right now, we all know where Jack stands. Absolutely.
The ABCs of me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jack.
That's right. He sees a lot more than most people.
One of the off boys.
Hello.
Don and Mike show.
God.
Hello.
Don.
Yeah.
I'm not wanting to pile on Frida either, but
No, listen, I will accept that from a blind guy. Well, not that, accept that from a sighted guy. My wife is a good woman.
Well, I know she is. But what a lot of people need to realize is that I've been listening to you guys' show for about 2 years now. I'm
yes.
out to Wichita from North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
I consider you two guys as probably the absolute best ad-lib comedians that there are going today.
I agree.
As do I.
You know, the dummies out there who can't get that,
mm-hmm.
those people are pathetic.
I agree.
I mean,
right.
You guys, you know, you make people laugh.
Yes, we do.
You carry on a damn good show mm-hmm. 5 days a week.
God damn right. Well, this week only 2 days a week, but
well,
yeah.
But if people want to find out how hard your job really is, just try to carry on a normal conversation
right.
with a friend of yours
mm-hmm.
for 4 hours.
Many barbers can't do it, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys, I mean, you know, you're the absolute best I've ever heard.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good day, boys.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
We didn't check, but I bet he was blind also.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hello.
Hey, you guys are doing a great show. How long have you been gone?
How long have we been gone? About near 2-3 days.
Well, you all are good, doing a great show. Keep
Thank
it up.
You. Thank you.
Jeff Cassidy saying goodbye.
Goodbye. 4 days, including the holiday.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
4 days in dog years.
Yep.
And we've gone 2 weeks.
Well, no.
Yes.
Oh, please.
Yes. 2 weeks tomorrow.
Don't be ridiculous.
Hello.
Buddy.
Don't be ridiculous.
Don't be ridiculous.
Hello.
Hello.
What?
Me?
Ah, please. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi. You guys are doing a great job as usual. Just want to say it's weird how when women have hormonal issues, like my ex, not going through menopause or anything, but just like used to get psycho during PMS time, but it's always our fault for not dealing with it right. I don't get that.
Are you blind? I'll tell you, everybody's following the blind today.
It just seems like if they know that they're kind of off kilter because of their hormones, they should be kind of understanding of us having to put up with it instead of us having to be understanding of them.
Mr. Spicoli, you're on dangerous ground here.
Thank you. Goodbye.
I think we were both in the exact same boat just then.
Right. We didn't say anything.
You don't say anything to certain
people. We didn't have the balls to say anything to
certain people. Absolutely not.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Well, I'm a deaf guy, and Frida does need to lay off. But in all seriousness, did anybody see the paper?
No. In all seriousness, goodbye.
Okay.
But in all seriousness.
Seriously, though.
Anybody see the Patriot? I'm here all week. Thank you.
Let's clear these lines out. Just clear. Oh, hold on. A guy's got a tape of us on CBS.
Ah. Is this the guy with the tape of us on CBS?
No.
Nope. All right.
John in Sacramento.
Johnny. What, Johnny?
Don.
What?
I've seen pictures of Frida. She's a babe.
I totally agree. She's
a babe.
Hot.
Yeah, you got to get on the bike. Get to work.
That's good. Is that the new post-vacation strategy? I like that. That works.
Yeah. I just dropped the F-bomb on this guy.
Very good.
Who the hell are you to call me, you son of a bitch?
There you go.
Hey, I'm a fat bastard, too.
I am not a fat bastard. I'm simply a bastard.
He hangs up. You scared him away.
Sure did. I dropped the F-bomb on that guy.
You did. Without hesitation.
The guy said something to me. I didn't like it.
That's right.
It's an F-U.
Well, F-U.
Well, F-U. And then I just hung up on him. I deleted it out.
Mm-hmm.
Someday we'll live in a society free enough, Mike.
Yes, it's sad that we're, still in that Soviet Union.
And somebody who was on the phone there actually did have the tape of us being discussed on the CBS Sunday morning news show.
And we lost that person?
Yes, we did.
That doesn't depress me.
I wouldn't mind having a copy of that tape, though.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I want to listen to it right now over the telephone.
Probably put us in a bad mood.
But I wouldn't mind having a copy of the tape, for the archives and such.
Of course, for the time capsule.
Time for a call 100 right now. Phone number 877-365-3636. Now, remember, we already had a big winner today with the Secret Sound.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just playing for a prize and the chance to go to Las Vegas tomorrow. Be the 100th caller right now.
Paul, Trey says he's never been fishing before. So can he and I take turns with my fishing pole?
All right. Better still, I'll let him have one of my poles, and then you can both have one.
Gee, thanks, Sheriff. You can let him use your pole, Paul? The big one?
Sure. But you all got to get some sleep. I know. One of you come in my room.
Okay, Paul.
No, wait a minute. You go, Trey. You stay in your own bed.
Trey can sleep in your bed, Paul?
Now, don't worry about it. You'll see him first thing in the morning. I'll bring him in as soon as he dozes off. Go to sleep. Come on.
Night-o. Hi, Paul.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oops. Where's the CD? Ah!
Don't make them pimp smack you. Don and Mike.
Just as I was telling you how comfortable I'm becoming with everything.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said anything.
There, I just effed it up.
There it is. It'll take a little getting used to.
Call number 100 on our brand new studio. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Call 100.
Ryan, what's your name?
Jim, Sacramento.
Jim, thank you for listening, Jim. You, my friend, have won. Oh, listen to this now. A free order of nachos from Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Try Taco Bell's new freshly made chips, along with a coffee culata from Dunkin' Donuts.
Wow. Coffee culata.
Try one today.
Well, you get that coffee colada and the nachos?
That's right.
That's a meal.
But wait, there's more. You've also qualified for the vacation we're giving away tomorrow, a 3-day, 2-night trip for two to Vegas, courtesy of Independence Day, now on DVD. Independence Day, prepare to be blown away. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
I wish I had more for you, but we did have a Secret Sound winner today. If you missed it earlier in the show, the Secret Sound was the sound of a lighter in a car dashboard being pushed in and pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
No DDV players laying around, huh?
No.
Sorry.
You're not happy with your nachos?
Oh, I love it.
Culata?
I love it. Thank you.
I mean, you get that iced coffee in the nachos, you'll feel good.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on just a moment.
That'll keep you regular.
Tomorrow on the show, we will have the new reinvented Dennis Murphy tomorrow.
Ah, that's good. I'm looking forward to that. Dennis has had a little extra time, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Also on the show tomorrow, now I'm not sure. We wanted to get Dennis Miller on, okay, from Monday Night Football.
Right.
Then they said he's not doing any interviews till after the first game.
Mm-hmm.
Then we wanted to get Al Michaels, and they said, Al Michaels is not doing interviews till after the first game.
Right.
Then we wanted to get the girl who's replacing Leslie Visser. We wanted to get Melissa Stark.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, Melissa Stark is not doing any interviews till after the first game.
Do we get Eric Dickerson?
Eric Dickerson is not doing any interviews until after the first game. However, we have been offered, once again, old reliable, Dan Fouts.
Dan Fouts is part of the equation. Might as well get him.
No, I turned him down.
You turned him down.
I don't want Dan Fouts.
Because you were mad that you couldn't get Dennis Miller.
Right. Uh-huh. So tomorrow we'll have somebody from Monday Night Football on the show.
Who's that guy? Is it Rick Riley that writes for Sports Illustrated?
Yes.
Had a funny column about Dennis Miller that I thought was really the best. It was one of the, I read so much about Dennis Miller that was falls square in the category of sour grapes as far as guys that are just bitter about the hire, and it sucked.
You know what a lot of it was? I could relate to, certainly, the fact that I work on the Redskins doing the pregame show for the Redskins is nowhere near as big a deal as Dennis Miller
but
on Monday Night
there
Football.
There are parallels all over the place.
But I felt the hair on the back of my neck standing up when I would read people write, what does Dennis Miller know about football?
Right.
Which is the same thing that they said about me doing the Redskins pregame show. You know, let's be honest. What do you have to know about football to be a broadcaster in a game? You don't have to have coached the game. You sit on your ass and you watch.
Right.
And you know the players and you think you know what's going on.
And more than any other football telecast during the week, the Monday night game is, yes, about football, but it's also about primetime entertainment. Right. And I'm looking forward to it.
And I think Dennis Miller is a beautiful hire. And
it's fantastic.
I'll show you the significance of it, the fact that he was on the cover of that Sports Illustrated.
Absolutely. It was a great article about it, too. It was pretty interesting.
So tomorrow, I hope we have somebody besides Dan Fouts on from Monday Night Football. Plus, we will have a lame guest courtesy of TNT.
Right.
Because they're giving us $16,000 to give away.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck Stossel will be here tomorrow. We have some prison mail for him. And also tomorrow, we'll have a brand new low-budget Jeopardy for you.
Good.
All of that on tomorrow's show. Now, your vacation.
All right, there are three major parts to my vacation recap here. Would you like to hear about the strength of my 80-year-old mother that I exploited? Would you like to hear about my airline story, which was a beauty? Or would you like to hear about me being lost at sea, almost lost at sea?
Wow. I would really like to hear about the fight with your wife.
You're not going to hear that.
All right, but then I guess let's start with your mom.
Well, my mom, I just want to say thank you. She's 80 years old now, and my mom is, I almost think that she's lying about her age the way she does stuff, because a lot of people have said for a long time that, you don't seem like you're 80 years old, you don't behave like you're 80 years old, and she just
she sure doesn't look at Mike.
Oh, God, you.
Maybe.
You, I want to mention this is a much lower console right now. It's easy access as I dive across and tackle you around the ankle.
You tackle me now. You have a clear shot of my genitals.
I know.
Wait, this new studio set up.
Studio totally reconfigured. But she was terrific. She was taken out. She did all the chores. And, being 80, you might say, if you saw my mom, you've met her, you would say, why are you letting her do all the work? I said, well, because she wants to. And she made all the fires, and she did a lot of the shopping, and would run around, and I just wanted to share with you that I didn't feel guilty, because she's in such good shape right now, that I would be sitting in the chair. And at one point, towards the end of the vacation, it was getting a little chilly up at Maine, and I saw her going for the logs, these big heavy logs that she was bending over and putting in the fireplace. And you would think, just for a second, I said to myself, well, an 80-year-old, maybe should be helping her. And then I said, look at how good she's doing. Why should I volunteer to help when, she's made fires for a long, long time, and she's still doing it. And I know, even though she was struggling with a particularly large log, and I was going to get up.
You're her only son, correct?
I'm her only son, and I was going to get up, and no one else was there. I think Laura was taking the girls for a walk, and my sister was somewhere else in the house, and I saw her, and I said, even though she's struggling, really, almost to the point, yes, there could be maybe a broken hip if one thing went one way or the other. But I said to myself, if I got up out of this wonderfully comfortable chair where I was reading The Perfect Storm, if I got up and helped her, I might insult her.
Yes.
So I didn't help her, and she managed to get this, at 80 years old, get this rather large birch log into the fireplace. And then I said, hey, if she can handle that log, she can handle every single log that's out on the porch. And I let her do that. And at the end, I said, I think, you know, she would never admit if she was winded or exhausted, but I think I sat back in the easy chair and I said to her, how, you know, how you doing? And she said, fine, dear. I'm fine. And I was just, I wanted to just comment how very proud I was.
Did the work make her weep?
You mean, did I work her to the point of having her get teary-eyed?
Yeah.
I think maybe.
Did you work her till she wept?
Right after the fire, the fire lit the match, two lights of the newspaper, bam, fully going. Fully involved fire in the fireplace. Just a marvelous job. Mm-hmm. And did it in time to go get us some drinks and then make dinner. And she did a great job. And, of course, every morning, the girls, would come to my door and Daddy, Daddy, and I would say, go to grandma's room. And they'd run down to grandma's room at about 5:30, 5:45. They get excited on vacation.
Right.
So she'd go down and do that. And then she'd go up, and there's a steep, steep hill near our house up there. This very steep hill. And she'd go up and go to the post office every day and get the mail up there.
She'd walk up there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, that used to be. I figure I'm 41 now. I know she's 80, but I'm a grown up now, and I don't have to do the chores that I used to have to do as a kid. I don't think that's.
You're on vacation.
I'm on vacation, and she seems to. I think it's very important for somebody that age to keep active, and that was really the route I went on that. And I the only thing I didn't do, we had the lawn was getting just a little bit long up there.
Yeah. So you didn't let your mom cut the grass?
Couldn't find the mower. Don't know who did something with the mower, but I couldn't find the mower up there. But otherwise, I would have probably done a couple of passes with it, and then she'd be sitting up on the porch, and I'd look over at her, and I'd say, hello, Mrs. 80-year-old scholarship winner. Want to come down here and do a few? But I'll tell you, she handled that log. I think it would have killed most 80-year-olds, but she struggled with it. And
you felt no remorse?
No, none whatsoever, because I think that's why she's in the shape she's in, is because she does. She says, this is what she said at one point to me, I'm used to being alone. I'm used to doing for myself, and I like doing it for all of you. I said, well, that's great. Why don't you put one more log on that fire? And she did it. And I just, can we give a round of applause to my 80-year-old mother God, she's hanging in there. She really is. And I hope that at 81, she builds the kind of fires that she did at 88. But it was a pretty good vacation. The fight that we had a big meltdown fight. And the thing I was telling you was, it was just nasty things being said, and it actually spilled out onto the street outside this restaurant, because I didn't want to fight in front of my mom and the kids. And so, once again, mom helping out with the kids inside, and it was going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
With you and Laura, right?
Yeah. And it was really, I think it was my fault, just a little bit. So I have to say it was a little bit, because I was the catalyst, I think.
Can you tell us what the fight was about?
Being kind was the subject. If you'd like the theme of the fight, it was being kind. It was my kind.
Was it
my
kindness. You're not being kind?
For some reason, it was perceived. Isn't that what you say when you're having fun? For some reason, it was perceived that there was a level of unkindness from me.
Huh.
And I will say, because now, after the last time that I spoke of any altercations we had, because she called in and I was totally devastated.
You are PW that she's going to call up now.
If, if I can say this very delicately, if one more walked up to me that day and said, hey, she got you. She was terrific. I'm now living in a state of fear that she, and so I want to say that I was wrong, and I apologized, and I was, but you know, it was one of those cases where I think maybe I was a little testy. After we had guests up there, and I was discussing this with Buzz, when you have men around, and I don't want to sound sexist here, I just want to say that when there are men around, there's some kind of balance. When you have even one guy to bounce off. Is that her calling? Okay, I thought you were going
just,
for the phone.
That's just me playing the fag tape.
Okay, let me get my phone. I just lost a little fibrillation right there. So If you have one guy around.
Although I would like to say she is welcome to call. Even though we're in a new studio, the hotline has not been changed.
Okay. All right. Please. All right.
Waiting to hear from
you,
Laura.
No, there's no need. There's no need. I admit it. I was wrong. And I'll tell you, if there's one guy around, if there's one man around, there's just balance. You know, it's a reasonably similar-aged adult male. Mm-hmm. There's balance. And I find that I lose control, and I get testy, and I get angry when the last guy. So we had neighbors come up, and they left. And when they left, I was the only man in the house surrounded by women, and it just immediately gets, I get irked. I feel like I'm outnumbered.
How did the kindness issue come up, though?
Because I was probably the only, when I get nervous and I get uptight like that, probably the only person that I have, you know, short words for is my wife. And I know you want me to talk more about it. I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
So that's why, see, because I'm not gonna jump all over my mom while she's making the fire. And I'm not gonna, and my sister had left at the same time the guests did. So really, it was just my mom and my wife, and that's when the you know, I was just a little edgy and a little tense, because I'd also had a horrible experience with a boat. You know,
why would you be edgy around your mom, though, if your mom was doing all the work?
Well, you know, my mom did a lot of work, but in between, she talks. And, you know, that's the thing. You know, oh, my God. I mean, it's just, you know, and it really is, I really, at a certain point, you know how much I love my mom. I call her all the time.
You are a mama's boy. No doubt about it.
I like talking to my mom, but really, after about half an hour, you know, with no other guys to even back. Because, I mean, if they're guys, you can just say, yeah, let me show you this, and just get out of the environment. You know what it's like when you're out on the porch.
I know.
Because if there are no guys around, after about a half an hour, it turns into, and it's on and on and on, and I tended to lose it a little bit.
Did you ever get that Billy Bass thing?
No, I didn't get that.
Oh.
No.
So you need that. You need something like that to be your buddy in those situations.
Where I could just run to it and just stand to the wall, look at the plaque, and talk to my talking bass.
You know, I saw it.
Never got that.
I saw it.
Really?
One day when we were on vacation, my son wanted to take me out to lunch because he has a job now. So he said, Dad, let me take you to lunch. Let's go to Hooters.
Right.
So we went to Hooters for lunch so that he could pay with his paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And they had one of those Billy Big Mouth singing bass things on the wall.
They are fantastic.
Let me tell you how
Great American Entertainment.
Okay, let me tell you how misleading that ad is.
You mean it's not as good as it is in the ad?
You know in the ad, when he turns his head and you hear this beautiful CD quality where it goes,
yeah.
Well, my name's Billy Bass, and I'm here to say.
And the one where he talks, do you have the one where he goes, don't you people ever dust?
Okay.
God, that kills me.
When we saw it in the Hooters,
yeah.
When we walked by and Bart pushed the button, this is what it sounded like. The head weakly turned.
Right.
It wasn't a strong, forceful turn. It was like, no, you'll be born. And we stood there about 5 minutes. We pressed the button, and it was like, do you remember when you used to have those, like, talking G.I. Joes, and you'd pull the string in the back of their neck?
Oh, yeah.
And they'd say the same thing over and over again, and it was supposed to have, like, five different sayings.
Right, right.
Well, this thing kept saying the same thing over and over again, so Bart said to one of the Hooters girls, hey, it keeps saying the same thing all the time. She says, yeah, it does that. He says, and how come it's not singing, like, on TV? And she said, it doesn't sing. It comes with a CD.
Oh, really?
It comes with a CD.
That you program it?
No.
Oh, you mean it just...
You can play the CD on your CD player.
That sucks.
Where it sings like, I'm Billy the Big Mouth Bass.
I don't want it now.
Big Mouth Bass.
I'm trying to think of the one in the grocery store that my daughter likes, if that's the one that sings. If that, I'll check that out.
I saw one.
They got one in the grocery store, the giant, right next to the food, the frozen fish section. And we always press that, and I'll double check
on it. Does it sing?
I think it does sing. I think it sings, but I'll have to double check. It might just talk.
The one I saw kept singing, Don't Worry, Be Happy, over and over again.
That's the one. Yes, that's the same one. Yeah, Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Well, then maybe this was an off-brand singing fish.
There are imitators out there. I really think there are imitators.
Although I think the thing that it did say over and over again was, don't you people dust.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. You never... Hold on. We have someone online who has the singing fish.
Okay.
Here we go. Hello.
Hello, buddy.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, buddy.
Tom, do you have the singing fish?
Yep.
No.
That's it. Take me to the river.
Take me to the river.
Tom has it.
Drop me in the water.
Now, is that the fish, or are you just playing a CD?
Take me to the river.
Tommy?
Yep.
Is that... Is that the fish singing, or are you just playing the CD?
It's on.
Hi, Tom.
It's on.
Is that the fish singing, or are you just playing...
That's the fish.
So it's not just a CD?
No, it's
a real fish.
Press,
all right.
Press the button again.
All right.
Don't worry. There it is.
Over and over again.
All right, well, then the one in Hooters was not the same one as on TV.
No, it's the fish.
Do you like it, Tom?
Yeah, I do. Okay.
Did you order it off TV?
Nope.
All right. Thank you, Tommy.
How you guys doing?
Tom, I got to go. I got a guy from Toys R Us on the line.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, okay. Bye.
All right.
Tom, I get bored with that in the year 2002.
Here's the guy who says there are two different singing fishes.
Okay, good one to that one.
Can tell us the difference. Hello, Adam?
Yes, Don and Mike, radio guys.
All right, well, what's the difference?
All right, there's one that's the Billy Big Mouse, Big Fat Fish that you're talking about, that Buzz knows, that does sing the song Don't Worry, Be Happy. It also sings Take Me Out to the River or Down to the River. There's another cheap ripoff that just says Dust. There's some crap. It's not nearly as funny.
That's the one that's advertised on TV.
Yeah, and it comes with the CD. And to be honest, I've seen both, and the one with the CD blows. The one Bart's talking about is funny.
Oh, well, see, there you go. Then the one that I saw at Hooters with Bart was the cheap mom.
Yeah, yeah, that was the crappy one. So, Mike, you can get excited over the fish again.
Fantastic. All right, well, now I am looking forward to getting that. I really am.
All right.
And as far as at Hooters, you know, if you're going to have the bad one, it's better that it's at Hooters than in somebody's living room.
Yeah, true.
Absolutely.
Thank you. All right, goodbye.
Very, very cool.
Hold on just a moment. Now, you weren't done.
I got two things to talk about, and there's one airline story that was just we had just a bad experience on our way down there. We fly up to Maine, and I'll tell you, it's one of those commuter airlines. I'm not about mentioning the name of the airline, United Express Atlantic Coast Airlines.
Hold on, let me do a break,
mm-hmm.
And then we'll come back.
Very good.
Be right back.
Don and Mike Show.
Right. Yeah. We had a winner today with the Secret Sound. Said, are you S-ing me?
Then he went on to guess the sound correctly.
Guy got Secret Sound number 4, which was the sound of a cigarette lighter being inserted and pushed out of Rob Spiewak's Chevy Caprice.
Mm-hmm.
We will have a brand new Secret Sound for you on tomorrow's episode.
Right.
If I have just a second, I would like to thank the fine people at J.B. Fitzsimmons. Fine Tobaccos.
Ah!
Remember some guy called a while ago and said he could get some Opus X cigars?
Very nice.
Yeah, well, he brought some by.
That's nice of him to do that.
We want to thank them very much. And the guy who won the money is Gary Martins.
Gary, you're S-ing me Martins.
From Yuba City, California. He won $500 earlier in today's show. Now, your airline story.
Yeah, now, I know a lot of people, you read a lot about it. You read a lot about the fact that, it's gotten worse. I think everybody knows it's gotten worse. And, I had a personal experience that I just had to share because it was so ridiculous. And everybody got so mad. On the Saturday we're leaving to go up to Maine, apparently that was a day where a lot of kids are going up to these camps they have up in the woods up in Maine. I guess a lot of kids go to New England for camp.
Sure.
And so it was very, very crowded, and there were a lot of people traveling. And I'm not going to get upset if a plane's late. If a plane's a little bit late, it's something happens mechanically or whatever. I just like to know what's going on. And everybody else feels the same way. Everybody that was in our situation feels the same way. So we get to the airport, and when you're traveling with a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, we've learned to do it. We've learned to travel later in the day because they're just better at that time of the day. And also, we try to get to the gate a little closer to when the plane's going to leave because it's a timing issue and they don't get too overtired, and it's fine. So we get there, and I got a noon flight. First thing I check in, I said, hi, how you doing? It's great. And then they look on the airline, and one of the passengers, I think it was Elizabeth, she says, well, that's another credit card for Elizabeth. I said, no, it's not. She's 1 year old or whatever. I checked her. I bought these tickets for her. Well, she's on another one. Can I see the credit card? And I'm like, well, what? How does that differ from the rest of them?
You're there picking up the tickets?
Yeah, picking up
the gate?
Getting, we're e-ticketed, and on the e-ticket receipt, that he's like, so this looks different. So one of the, I don't know where he got this from, but he says, here, let me take a look. And he goes through this whole thing. I said, well, the tickets have already been paid for. Yes, but this is another person. I said, no. Yeah, there's a number. I don't know what you're reading, but I bought the tickets for everybody. Everybody on our list is there. There shouldn't be any problem. He said, well, let me just see the credit card, please. Do you have it with you? I said, yeah, I have the credit. So he takes a look and goes, oh, yes, okay. So that's just the start. You know, it's a 10-minute deal to go through this crap.
And what was the upshot of
that? The upshot was, I don't know what he was looking at, but I bought all the tickets for my whole family to travel, and there was nothing wrong with that. I don't understand where he got it from, what he was looking at. You know, one of the things that's wrong with airlines nowadays is that everybody that works for an airline, and anybody that's ever been in an airport will agree with me, they're married to their computers. They don't have any awareness that they're dealing with human beings. What they want to look at and just be totally focused on is what that computer is telling them. And a lot of times, if they just pick up a telephone, talk to a human being like a pilot or, you know, or a crew person, or it would be a lot easier than worrying about overbooking and what the computer says and who's in what seat, which is all they give a rat's ass about. And so this is how it starts. So we get done. I go, okay, great. Okay, so we're about 15 minutes away. No, sir. I said, we're not leaving at noon. So no, the plane right now is scheduled to leave at 1 o'clock. So it's an hour delay. I'm fine with that. No problem at all. Said, yes, the plane is in the air. It's coming in from Nashville, Tennessee. Yeehaw! The plane will be on the ground probably in about 25 minutes. It'll be 20 minutes to prepare the plane. Plane's going to be an hour late. So I sit there and I start the pacing thing, and I start doing the, you know, 8 miles of walking my 3-year-old up and down the corridors of the airport. Right. One thing leads to another. So finally, after about 45 minutes, I'm looking out the window and I walk up to the gate and say, is the plane here yet? No, sir. Well, that tells me right away that, you know, that probably the plane being in the air and just about to arrive in 25 minutes is total BS, and they were either making that up or who knows what. The plane lands about an hour later. So now they put it up on the screen where it's not an hour late, it's going to be an hour and a half late. So we all walk in, and by this time you've got parents there with these campers, and you know what? You might relate to this too. You know what's great? What's great is when there's a guy that's more type A than you are. Where there's another guy there,
a guy who's more, a bigger dick than you are.
Absolutely, yes. There's a guy that actually is making more noise, and he's
saying
like,
the things that you wish you could say.
And that's why I say them when I'm the only guy there, because this guy is up there and he's saying, you know, he's saying, well, what's the deal? Can you tell us what the problem is? Well, the plane lands, and like an hour goes by with this plane sitting on the ground, and nobody knows what the deal is. And people are walking up, rightly so, saying, there's our plane right out there. What's the problem? Well, they said, just a minute, sir, just a minute. And they keep getting on and going, the plane will be taking off. We just apologize for any... And then meanwhile, they're paging people going, Mr. Gloria is 10:30. And I'm going, what are they saying? And every time anybody walks up to say what's going on, they say, it'll be just a few minutes. No problem at all. So I'm starting to get freaked out here, because we're working right now on about 2 hours, a 2-hour delay, and we're going to leave, you know, a 12 o'clock flight's going to leave at 2 o'clock, and everybody's, you know, then they get this overbook situation. We're on, and it's a tiny little plane. It's one of those commuter jets, one of those small jets.
Does it have propellers on it, or is it a jet?
It's a jet engine, and it's one of the, and I think, I'm not sure how many it seats, but people are starting to get freaked out because of this overbooking situation. There's this girl that's going to camp that's on our flight. They tell her something that like she's not going to be able to get on the plane. She starts crying. This thing is an absolute CF of the highest order. Then finally, they announce what the reason is, okay? The reason the plane is not taking off, they don't have a crew for it. They don't have a flight crew, all right? And not just a pilot or whatever. They finally get a pilot. And then they've got the two pilots. So they've got two guys that can fly the plane. And meanwhile, it's getting close to the time where this flight is so late that there is another plane going to the same city. And that's where the big guy that's with me starts to say, well, do they have a flight attendant? And the guy says, yes. Well, we've been waiting for 2 hours. Why don't you just take that flight attendant, put them on our flight? And the answer, and this is when everybody, this is when like 20 people standing around went, as the lady said, the answer was, well, that plane has to leave now. And we're like, whoa, you a-holes, you incredible. And then we got a girl crying over here. We got another guy yelling. And then finally, they find this flight attendant. I don't know where maybe they went down to the local Denny's and got her and drove her out to the airport. But we get a flight attendant, and the plane leaves probably about 2 hours later. The girl, the little girl that was going to camp, 14-year-old girl, who my wife is trying to calm down, saying, everything's going to be fine, you're not. Because she was concerned about, I guess they meet them at the airport.
Yeah, right.
And she's freaking out, and so she's crying, and you know, every
everybody gets calm. Once we get on the plane, the pilot, fortunately, real competent guy, you know, we get up there with no problem at all, okay? The last part of this story is, and because the flights themselves are actually very pleasant, you know, once you're on the airplane, but on the ground, out there at Dulles Airport for this Atlantic Coast Airlines is a complete CF for us. They don't know what's going on, and they're just not communicating with people.
Right.
That's my big problem. They're not telling us what's going on. So we get done, and I'm saying, I hope we have a smoother flight on the way back home. We do. The flight's on time. We get in the air. We land, and I'm getting off the plane with my 5-year-old and my 3-year-old. And normally, when it's not like you have a gate that comes out to the plane. These are small planes where they give you steps and you go down to the tarmac. Now anybody, and we've flown on these little small
planes. Sure, I know what you mean.
Normally when you get down on the tarmac, someone's there to, because I think it's law, I think it might be legal, someone's there to tell you where to go. So we get down, I get down there with my 5-year-old, my 3-year-old, there's a delay, we're at the middle part of the plane, and by the time the people in front of us have found their way, I guess, we get down to the bottom of the steps, I got my two daughters holding hands, I look around, I don't see an open door, I don't see any representative from the airline, I am sitting there with these planes going like that all around me, I don't know where the F to go, I don't know what door I'm supposed to walk in, because I'm looking at all closed doors, and then I see down on the far end what looks like a maintenance door with some guy standing out. I'm not sure which open door I'm supposed to go to.
You do it.
And I'm wondering whether maybe this is a legal issue, you know, whether they're supposed to have somebody out there to point, you know, they're all wearing their big, you know, the guys that are working on the planes have their big headphones on, and I don't know where, and finally we get in there, and I said, there's a lady standing right inside who is talking to another older couple, and I said, isn't somebody supposed to be out there, like, showing people where to go? And she said something to me like, and that was it. And I said, thank you, United Express Atlantic Coast Air. Thanks a lot. You know, hey, the pilot, great. The pilots and, you know, the flight crew that was on the plane, that was absolutely terrific. But as far as on the ground, I mean, it was, and I don't want to get into the whole issue of language and that, because that would be tedious. That would
Did
be covered ground.
Language?
No, language, I'm talking about spoken word.
Right, well, you do that, and CBS will do another show about it.
Absolutely.
We'll be back on the CBS Sunday Morning News Show.
We don't want to do that. And then the only other thing I wanted to tell you about my vacation is that I probably am not going to rent a boat that I'll use myself next time I go up there, because I just don't think I'm cut out for it. I don't think I have the skills. Even though it's a power boat, this boat should be easy to use. I had a little scare. I had a little, like, almost heart attack causing scare, because I pull the boats up there. We rent this little boat with an outboard motor, and you have to keep it in the harbor, and you have to use a mooring. You don't pull it up to a dock or back it into a slip.
Right.
You put it on a mooring that's afloat out there, and it's got a rope tied to it, and you tie up your boat on the. And it's a little difficult. You got to know what you're doing, and it's a little tricky. And when you go out for the day, you have to row out there in a dinghy, this tiny little boat, and you have to tie that up to the mooring, and then take your boat out, pick up your passengers at the dock. So I'm coming back, and I dump all the passengers off, and it's getting to be a little windy, you know, about a 2-foot chop, and it's difficult for me to maneuver the boat. So I finally get it into position. The wind's kind of backing me up a little bit, and I'm a little unsteady on my feet, and I have this boat hook that I'm reaching over to grab the rope, and then so I grab the rope, and the dinghy slams into the side of the boat.
Like the perfect storm.
It was not on that scale. On the perfect storm, I would have excrement all over my pants. You know, even one-tenth of the perfect storm, you know, I would be dead. I would not. So I reach over, and the dinghy's slamming up against the boat, and I'm a little unsteady. And meanwhile, this big sailboat is coming in at the same time, this beautiful, huge. I mean, this thing is massive. And it's coming in with these professional sailors that know all about what they're doing. And they're sitting. So they're about 20 yards on the other side of me. Meanwhile, I'm just trying not to look like a complete idiot. So I finally get the rope, and I'm real kind of proud of myself, and I shut the engine down, and I'm like, okay, here we go, Mr. Sailor, and I take the rope out that the dinghy's attached to, and I put it around the front of my boat, and I untie the dinghy, and I'm sitting, and then I start re-cleating the thing.
Right.
You know, I see, I'm not all that nautical.
But I know what you mean.
I'm trying to tie the rope.
So that's my whole thing with the boats. That you shouldn't have to know the bow and the starboard.
Right.
You know, you're right. It's not a line. It's a rope.
Right.
And all you're doing is tying knots to tie the rope to your boat while you're parking your boat.
You have to not, you know, so I got two ropes that I'm dealing with. I untie the dinghy, and I start to put the mooring line around the cleat on the front of the boat. And I'm like, hey, good job. And I sit there, and I start
turn around to go back to the center of the boat, and I look, and the dinghy is halfway out in the bay. Because I haven't, like a moron, I haven't paid any attention to the fact that I, you know, I'm sitting here, hey, I found it, and I let go of the dinghy, and the dinghy's in this current and this wind, and the dinghy is just shooting halfway across the bay, and I'm like, oh my God, what am I? So I immediately, I don't just panic, I super panic, and I go, oh, all right, let me go. So I run up to the front, and I untie the, first I start the engine on the boat, and I keep it on idle, and then I go up and I untie the bow line again. I toss the mooring, because I've got to go out and get my dinghy now again, right, and do the whole goddamn thing all over again. And so I put the engine in reverse, and all I'm doing is looking at the dinghy. That's the first mistake. The real big mistake I made was I'm looking at the dinghy. I'm not looking where I'm going. So I start, and I'm like, there it is. Okay, I'll just swing around, and I'll get it. So I start the boat forward, and as soon as I start the boat forward, I hear this, and the engine dies. And what I hit was that sound of ping poom was me running over the float of another mooring, and the mooring line had wrapped around the propeller. And so the engine goes girl and dies. Now the only thing that's happening is I am going nowhere, but I'm attached to a mooring, but the boat. But it's the rear end. It's the stern of the boat that's attached to the mooring. And I am not knowing what to do here. I look over and I see this thing like that. And I said, you know, this is like, I'm dealing with a situation. I got a dinghy that's in the middle of the bay. I've got a mooring line wrapped around the propeller. And I'm seriously thinking, you know, this is something a scuba diver is going to have to fix. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. Fortunately, the boat has this little button, the trim tab, where it lifts the prop out of the water.
Right.
So I go to the front and I press this button and it goes, and tilts the propeller out, but I still have a little work to do, but I see the thing is wrapped around, but it's not wrapped around, like, jammed in there. It's wrapped around, it appears to me, like if I can reach it, and if I can reach to where the propeller is, I can actually unravel it and maybe free myself from this thing. So I go out, and at this point, the wind is probably, it's probably about a 2-foot sea. So, I mean, it's not crazy, but it's choppy.
It's a little choppy.
It's choppy, and I reach over, and at that moment, the boat turns to the right and catches one of these 2 to 3 foot waves, and I come that close to going in the water. I put my leg back, I slam my leg back, and I go into this, where they keep the battery, this little plastic cover, and my boat and knee go crashing into the things, and I'm going, oh, damn it! Meanwhile, the people on the boat, the big sailboat, are looking, oh, look at him. Look at him, he was lost again. Look at the moron. Look at the moron whose rear end of the boat is facing out to sea. But I get myself, I reach over, I've got water, I've got a long sleeve, it's cold up there, and I got water all the way, I unravel the thing, and I'm able to start the engine, and then I do this thing where I'm just like on flipper, I go, and I floor it out there. By this time, the dinghy, I think, is almost in Canada, and I grab the dinghy, I bring it back, and everything, and I come home, and you know when you've gone through an ordeal like this, and you're hoping that somebody's on shore? Well, no, all my guests, Laura, everybody, they'd walked back to the house that's like on the other side of this body of land where we have the house. And I'm alone.
Foolish boy, you thought they'd be waiting for you, right?
What if happened? If I'm really stranded out there, I don't have anything. I have a radio that didn't work.
Oh.
So I would have been sitting out there, you know, and I was not. I swear to God, I would die of exposure before I'd ask those sailboaters. I would die. I would die a miserable. They'd find a skeleton on that boat before I'd ask those people for help.
Right.
But I made it home, and they're all sitting out on there having little cocktails going, well, hello. What took you so long? What took me so long is that I almost died.
Well, where does this sound familiar?
Yeah.
Gee.
Yeah.
I remember telling a story one time about when I almost drowned and I came back.
Yeah, I know. And I laughed. I'm sorry. I let me apologize to you for that. I'm sorry. And I didn't come anywhere
near. You came nowhere near drowning.
No, not near.
Look at you, fancy lad. Now you know what it feels like.
I understand. But I'll tell you right now.
Be shunned by family and friends.
No, they didn't care. They thought it was funny.
Right.
But, oh, man. You ought to be. And I think my mom, you know, the 80-year-old, who was, you know, I was ready to have more chores for her after she said this. She said, oh, you should be a little more careful next time. Watch what you're doing. They went back to their conversation. I just walked in the house. F everybody. So happy vacation. But other than that, I had a wonderful time.
Hold on, we have to break. We will be right back.
From the creators of Marky in the Middle, it's the Don and Mike Show.
All right. This board is my bitch now.
You like this board?
No. But she's my bitch. I've I've mastered her.
I'm not aware that you have had any significant problems.
A couple of F-ups, little glitches,
but all in all, it's technologically a little better than the other one?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah,
I guess it's better. Considering what we were working with,
right,
it's better. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, please, for the love of Christ, turn your radio down.
A couple of F-ups.
Thank
Don
you.
Don Mike?
Yes.
Hey, I want to talk about, can you guys imitate James Gardner voice?
Who?
James Gardner.
James Gardner? Mike does a killer James Gardner. Why is that?
Yeah. Can you do that, please?
Well, what do you mean? Why are you asking me to do that?
Because I like the way he does it.
Well, I do that once in a while, but it's like there's got to be a reason for it.
Because I enjoy it. I enjoy his voice.
Well, all right, then I'll do it for you.
Thank you.
Just because you called and you wanted to hear James Gardner, I'll do it for you. Have a nice big thick steak. Okay, give you a little.
You made him happy, Mike.
Well, God bless you. Have a great day.
Bye.
Right. Make sure you turn your radio down or kick your ass across the state line.
When you were watching A Perfect Storm, did you see the ad for the movie with Clint Eastwood?
It looks great.
Yeah. At least Clint Eastwood in this movie where he's going to be the astronaut,
right?
At least he's not portraying himself to be a stud anymore.
You know, you get that combination. I mean, I think it's can't miss, but you never know. I love all those actors. They're all, you know, they're the great, actors
Donald
in America.
Donald Sutherland, Clint Eastwood.
Tommy Lee Jones. James Garner.
And James Garner. Four guys who went up in space like 35 years ago who have to go back up into space to fix a satellite that's going crazy.
That is, I just hope it's as good as the trailer.
Space
I really
Cowboy.
Do. Space Cowboy.
That's the name of it. And you should go see Me, Myself, and Irene.
I'm looking for it. It was a choice that we, you know, to go. I read the book, The Perfect Storm, you know, based on my getting the dinghy. That's what it was all
and
about.
And conversely, I read the book, Me, Myself, and Irene.
There's a book?
I did.
There's a book, Me, Myself, and Irene?
I was so strapped for something to read on the beach that someone actually wrote an adaptation of the movie.
Oh
really? In the book form. And it was funny because the book, the paperback book,
right,
actually describes in pretty great detail a lot of the great scenes from Me, Myself, and Irene.
But it's good enough. It's a Farrelly Brothers endeavor, and it's a pretty good movie.
Listen, here's what's wrong with Me, Myself, and Irene.
Okay.
There's too much of Jim Carrey and Renee Zellweger, Jerry Maguire's girlfriend. Yeah. There's too much of them really falling in love.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, there's lots of great stuff with Jim Carrey falling out of cars and Jim Carrey having fights with himself. And I told you about the scene where Jim Carrey is actually... Listen, I mean, they go all the way with it. There's this hot girl with gigantic boobs, and she's nursing a baby. And when Jim Carrey changes personalities and he goes from being Charlie, the unassuming cop, to being Hank, the mean guy,
right,
he actually goes over and starts nursing on the woman's breast.
Oh, God.
But I mean, it's not
the Farrelly Brothers.
It's not one of those things where Jim Carrey might be doing it or they're using trick photography.
Right.
The camera is right on this girl's boob. You see it, and Jim Carrey is sucking on her nipple.
Oh, God.
Like crazy, he's sucking on her nipple.
They always test the limits, don't they?
And I mean, he doesn't do it for 5 seconds.
Right.
I mean, he does it for 30 seconds. He's like,
and the audience is just falling out of the chairs.
He's going, it's fantastic. And I won't even tell you about the guy with the chicken up his ass.
Okay, all right. But I want to go see it. I do.
But there are 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 moments in Me, Myself, and Irene.
Right now is the...
where you will piss your pants.
This is the time of the year. I mean, this is the time to go to the movies because, I mean, they've got... Really, it's been a long time since you've had 2 or 3 great movies to go see, and they're all getting good reviews.
And that movie, The Perfect Storm. I didn't read the book.
Right.
I thought the movie was all right. My wife...
I thought the movie was okay, too. I thought the special effects were terrific.
Yeah. My wife had read the book and said that she didn't like the movie because the movie was schmaltzier than the book was.
Yes, it was.
Anybody that's seen A Perfect Storm... My big complaint was, well, I had 2 complaints with that.
The one you told me in the office I thought was pretty funny, and yet I can see your point there.
There's a guy, nobody get pissed off like with the Sixth Sense. I'm not telling you any giant secret from
the movie.
If
you don't want to hear anything that happens in the movie, just turn your radio down.
That's right. So anyway, one of the guys who goes out on the ship, the Andrea Gale. One of the guys who goes out, he's a big loser. Okay, he's never even been with a woman before. And the night before they're going to go out on this big fishing expedition, he's sitting at the bar and there's this real fat troll sitting at the bar.
His whole thing is, he can't get laid.
Mm-hmm. So he ends up talking with her for about 15 minutes. And she shuts him down.
Right.
And he says, all right, see you later, and she leaves the bar. The next morning, she comes out to the dock
and waves goodbye to him. And he says, nobody's ever said goodbye to me before, but before he goes on a fishing expedition, right. Okay? That's it. That's their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
She turned him down the night before in the bar, and then she came to the dock to see him off the next morning.
Right.
After they all drown,
right.
When they're having the memorial service, the fat chick has a front row seat.
Uh-huh.
And I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, what about the family, like, of George Clooney
mm-hmm.
and Mark Wahlberg?
Right.
And the guy with the awful face who got
yep.
got drug off the boat.
Right.
And the guy with the tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that they all had real family.
Sure.
How come the fat girl is yeah. sitting in the front row?
She was featured in the movie. That's the Hollywood reality that you right. had trouble with in that particular film. And I can understand.
And
that.
The other thing, and I know you can relate to this because you were up in New England
mm-hmm.
for your vacation.
Right.
I hate it when they get actors pretending that they have that New England, Massachusetts accent.
I tell you, I've seen, for whatever reason, for actors, this must be one of the most difficult accents to master. I wish, if they couldn't get it right, that they just chill out. Now, you got Mark Wahlberg, who's a Boston kid, and so he's got it naturally.
His was understated, though.
He actually has it.
Unlike the girl who played his girlfriend.
Yeah, well, she's got to say, hey, the cat, pack, that, you know.
And they just overdo it. It doesn't sound legitimate. You know, it really does.
Bobby, don't go out there.
Right.
Bobby.
You know, I always hate it when if they can't get it right. It's like Kevin Costner when he tried to do the British accent in Robin Hood.
Oh.
If you can't get it right, just don't do it at all.
Just use your regular voice. You notice that George Clooney didn't even attempt,
which is great,
to do one of those dumb accents.
It's just so forced. It's like they're trying so hard to make it legit. And I agree with you. I didn't like that at all. I really didn't.
The Perfect Storm was not bad. You should see Me, Myself, and Irene.
Think about The Perfect Storm. If you want to see really, I really think it's, there's a lot of new techniques used in special effects, and I'll tell you, some of the stuff I was looking at, and I said, I don't know how they
right.
made it look like that. You know, when you see the boats in the water, it's incredible.
Very believable.
Did you see a Buzz?
I did. I thought it was great.
Really? Yeah,
I enjoyed it very much.
Which of the movies? Did you go see anything else?
No, that's the only one I saw. Pack the Cat.
Yeah.
Actually, they teach that in drama class. They tell you, if you can't do the accent, don't even try it.
First things they teach you.
Bobby. You know, and of course, what a cliche the mother of Mark Wahlberg was in that movie also.
You didn't like the movie. Now, I'm beginning to think you're going over to the side of you.
No. I enjoyed the special effects.
Yeah.
You know, the part where George Clooney is driving the boat directly into the 50-foot wave,
yeah,
that's killer.
Right.
And I think that George Clooney and Marky Mark have a real good chemistry together.
Yeah, they do. Absolutely.
But it was all of the other parts of the movie that drove me crazy, like with the crusty mom who works at the bar. He's my boy. Bring him back safe to me one more time. You know, they're all drinking beer at 8 o'clock in the morning because, yo-ho, yo-ho, a pirate's life for me. No. They're all crusty.
I hate a sea.
They're all crusty until the three storms come together. And that's when they show up at the bar. You want some coffee, honey?
Right.
Here's some coffee. Oh, bring back my Bobby to me.
That's a pretty good New England accent you're doing there.
Thank you.
You go further up the coast and you get even more. You know, it's like, I'll bring your groceries over the car. There you go. That's right. There you go. It's been a goddamn perfect storm. No problem at all. That's right. You just keep that John Travolta out of our state. That's all. I'll tell you, you just keep him in his big oversized jet plane. We don't want to hear that rumbling through our windows.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yes, hello.
Welcome back from vacation. How you doing?
Thank you. Doing great, thanks.
Listen, I have a story that is equally humiliating, boating. I grew up in the Caribbean, and I've been boating all my life, and I was on vacation in Chicotee with my daughter several years ago, and I had quite a bit of experience, and I went to this little motorboat, and we went out, and I guess because of the extreme tides or something, we had followed charts and such, but we ended up on the sandbar, and I got out of the boat and tried to push us off the boat, and we couldn't get off the boat, and finally I called 911, and they called the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard came out to rescue us, and they came out in a big boat, big ship, but from the ship, in order to get to us, they had to get into a dinghy, and from the dinghy, they had to walk out to where we were. And these gentlemen had to come and rescue us and pull us off the sand. But the humiliation on top of that is when we were going back to the dock.
If we had all of our tapes in the studio, at some point I would have inserted the tape of Dennis Murphy snoring. However, we don't have it. We don't have that in our new studio configuration.
I thought it was a lovely story.
Well, I do have that one,
well,
Mike.
I thought it was a very lovely story.
Christ.
And you tell it so well. Such enthusiasm.
I can finish that story for her. That's, and then afterwards, she did what you saw that guy doing on the jet ski.
Really? She pulled out her pants and did a big number two.
Absolutely. And everybody in the Coast Guard saw it.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Good. Hey, Don, you didn't mention the three sons, Jim Carrey's sons from the movie. What do you think of them?
They steal... The movie.
I saw them in a trailer, and it looks great.
When they fly the helicopter?
Huh?
La, la, la.
Sorry, the movie's been out for 2.5 weeks.
I know.
I know. Well, what is the statute of limitations on that? You got to say
the
first
I see it.
That's right.
The day after I see it.
That is when you better all have seen that movie.
Those three guys, and I know you saw them on The Tonight Show, right?
Well, I saw a trailer. The Farrelly Brothers ran a trailer, and it looks just... I mean, the Farrelly Brothers is just so quirky, and they do stuff that nobody else does. That's what makes their movie so good.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Welcome back from vacation.
Thank you.
Thank God you guys are back, man.
Thanks.
Hey, since I can never get through to the secret sound, I have a secret sound. Maybe you guys could guess. It just take a couple seconds. It's not going to take up much time.
Turning the tables on us.
I like it. Sure. Why not?
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Here you go.
That's my skull. I'm so wasted.
Oh, man, you guys knew what I was going to do, man. That was pretty good.
Was that is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, man.
Oh, we are the winners.
Big I know you well.
big winners we are. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hello, this is AR Senator Ted Kennedy calling back.
What?
This is Senator Ted Kennedy calling back from the Horny Fits.
What?
What are you talking about? What are you doing? Just tell us what you're doing. End the charade now. Tell us what you're doing.
I'm calling from the Horny Fits.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am, sir.
No, you're not, sir.
Sir.
Come on, tell us what you were trying to do. Just explain it. It might salvage this.
Now, this is Senator Ted Kennedy.
No, this is not.
This is some retard.
God.
Idiot.
Hello?
He hangs up.
Well, that went
douchebag.
Good bit.
Christ. I'm ready to go back on vacation now.
Even with the crappy vacation I had, I'm ready to go back to it now.
That was the call that did it right there. Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike.
This is Cody Cassidy. I like to say that I never drew on pants in that store.
Okay, thank you. Hold on. I want to call that guy back. Just find out what he was doing. Let's just find out what he was doing. Here we go.
Beautiful.
That's a great new caller ID system. God damn, thank you, Charlie. I didn't even think of that.
No, I've already talked to him a few times.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Hello, Pizza Hut.
Yeah, hi. This is Don and Mike show. You're on the air right now. What are you doing, douchebag? You don't work at Pizza Hut.
That's a Pizza Hut.
It is not.
Come on, you dope. Stop doing that. Stop calling us. You understand?
I don't know what you're talking about. This is Pizza Hut. Would you like to place an order?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, what would you like, sir? Would you like to try one of our supreme toppings?
Where is this Pizza Hut located?
At your mama's.
At your mama's. All right.
Well, listen, douchebag, we have your telephone number, so stop calling us.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Is that the same guy? Is that the bong guy?
No, that's always been me.
Oh, man.
What?
What do you mean that's always been you?
That's always been me.
It's always been Charlie. Charlie's always made the bong sound that you heard from time to time on telephone calls.
Are you kidding? No, I'm not.
No.
You're not. You're full of it.
I'm
not.
With a soda straw.
You make the bong sound effect? Yeah, that's always been me.
All right, well, you mean you do it when we get callers and you'll do it in the background?
If you answer at the same time, yeah, I'll drink some water and I'll stick the phone thing in my mouth and gluckle.
Oh, okay. My God.
But it's obvious you're not doing the bong sound effect now. Because,
no, I'm not.
Because that, so, what, are you really using a bong?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, we're talking to you now.
Oh, gotcha.
What was that sound?
I don't know, I'm walking.
You are
not working.
Are you walking or working?
I'm both.
All right, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You call us again, we're going to F with you bad.
I just don't even know who this is. I
yeah, right. Yeah. Good, yeah. Good. I'm glad you apologized, because you call us again, we're going to come down on you like nothing's ever come down on you before.
I'm just doing my job at Pizza Hut.
Live it. Learn it. Don't stop the charade.
Right.
No shoes, no shirt.
No dice.
That's it.
No dice.
Right. Call us again and find out what we're really all about.
Who is this? I don't even know who
yeah,
it is.
Okay, you got right. The message.
Right. Okay.
Very good. Good luck.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Bye-bye. Hang up!
All right, he's gone.
Thank you.
Very good.
He technically.
He did apologize.
He did apologize, and he hung up when he was told to. Hello, Sean and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, hey. Radio guys.
Hi, buddy. Hurry, we have to go right to Buzz.
The best part of me myself, and Irene is when Jim Carrey took her
la,
to
la,
his
la, la,
dog.
La, 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 la.
Mike doesn't like us doing this.
I hate it. I hate it. What's the rule? What is the rule? You have to see the movie in the first 2 weeks?
That's right.
Has it been 2.5 weeks? It hasn't been 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, the movie opened.
It's been 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah. The movie went out his neighbor's yard.
He's right. That was a funny part.
I really want to see the movie. I didn't hear it. I didn't hear what he was talking about.
I'll tell you.
No.
Don't worry. I won't tell you about it.
But go see it. But I know you. You won't see it.
I don't. My babysitter.
You know when you're going to see it? When it's on HBO next summer.
I saw Perfect Storm. I saw one film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sir.
It's a Big Fag movie.
Perfect Storm.
It is fag.
Well, it is kind of a fag movie.
I mean, except for the boat part.
It is a fag movie.
Fag movie. That's why I wanted to go see it. I want a bunch of fags at sea. They were all gay.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. Those guys alone on the boat?
Don't you go up to Gloucester and say that, Pally. They'll run a hook through your hand.
You bring my Billy back.
You didn't like his mother.
Bobby, or what was it? Was it Billy or Bobby?
I think Billy was the captain and Bobby was
Right. Billy was George Clooney. Bobby.
Right.
Bobby, you bring him back to me every time he's left.
That's right.
You bring him back.
The very end of that movie when they're up close to each other in the boat. They just have sex.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, now, you know what you've done? You've just ruined the movie for someone.
I know. I didn't say anything.
You intimated that they had sex.
Yeah, okay, now they'll know.
Yeah, now they know the secret ending to A Perfect Storm.
Manly love.
The fact that George Clooney mounts Mark Wahlberg at the very end of the movie as the ship is going down.
That's right. That's right, on top of a swordfish.
Aw, Skip. That's another thing that drove me crazy. They call him Skip all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, Skip. What? You think I don't have what it takes anymore?
Do you agree also that George Clooney kind of does all the same things now? I mean, I've seen him now in a bunch of movies. He's good. He's a good actor. But it's like the same. You get the same George Clooney.
He's like Robert De Niro. He has one range. He can play one type of character.
I knew Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro was a friend of mine. George Clooney is no Robert De Niro.
I'm not saying that he is.
It's just, he always seems to, like, I watched a lot of ER, and it seems like George Clooney is doing the same thing he did on ER.
Just like he did in Batman, like he did in Three Kings, just like he did in the movie Out of Sight.
It's that whispering thing. You know, where's the whole thing?
Hey, all right. Look like I'm going to be Mr. Loki.
He's so goddamn handsome.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
Get away with that.
You are breaking me off a piece of that.
Fags at sea.
It's time for news now.
Yes.
With Buzz, who on vacation filled his mom and dad's car with gas, took Marsha out to the movies.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, I did. Had a big time. You poor stiff going to Wichita for 2 friggin' weeks.
Hey, he told me in the bathroom that Wichita is better now. They have crawfish in Wichita.
It's now the crawfish capital of the Midwest. There you go.
Right on.
You can't get better seafood anywhere in the Midwest.
It's time for news.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
Is your lead story tonight going to be about how annoying that idiot was on Big Brother last night?
No, that wouldn't be my lead story. It's been a busy day. I have a lot of choices. But the latest news is an NFL star is murdered.
Wow.
Really?
Whoa.
Really?
Really?
Today?
Is it OJ?
Is it Sam?
No, it's not Sam. It's not OJ.
Is it Sonny?
No, it's not Sonny.
Right, those are the only three I care about.
Yeah. Elliott?
Breathe a sigh of relief. Oh, Matt Elliott. Well, he's not a star, Rob.
He's a former NFL player.
Sam wasn't a star when he played.
Right. You say it's a star NFL player?
Yeah, that's what I'm told.
Yeah, don't have to worry about Matt then. He's okay. That's fine.
Everybody, please stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up.
Coming up.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So you were
Sports
saying
1140
that's not a star.
KHDK.
I didn't say that.
Give on up, man, and have a meal, and enjoy the Don and Mike Show.
And I listen, we have some new stations that are joining us. I think I told you before we went on vacation that we had Tucson, Arizona, The Jolt.
Cool City, Tucson.
KJLL. And also those of you, this is down south of Portland, Oregon, around Salem, Oregon. Coos Bay, Oregon.
Coos.
Ooh. KBBR, the Bay Area's News Talks. Sports Authority. Yeah, that's a good slogan.
You said coos.
They are both now airing this show.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello. Hi. I'm sitting in my office, and I always tune in you guys, and I turn it up kind of loud sometimes so I can hear it over the heater. I was laughing over you guys talking about the Pizza Hut guy. You were talking to him, and my phone rang in my office. I smacked the speakerphone button and was just about to say hello, and as I did that, you were screaming, "Douchebag, don't ever call here again." And the lady on the other end kind of paused and and just hung up, so.
Oh, so you, so she thought we were talking to her.
Right, so this is my office. I picked up the phone and then.
Yeah, well, honey, here, the only question I have at all is, what are you doing with a heater on July 6th?
This is like 20 degrees colder than it's supposed to be, and I came to my office in a skirt, and I work on a golf course. Mm. So it's supposed to be nice and warm. This is sunny California, supposedly.
Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
That's hard.
Yes, it is.
I'm only 20, so I've heard Denise Richards before, because I have the long, dark hair. And
really?
I got the fake blue contacts, and the at least my boobs are real.
Okay, honey.
That's
good. I like that. Denise Richards works for me.
I don't like that Joker mouth on that girl. She got that new and improved Joker product smile.
New and improved.
I don't have that.
Joker products. You don't have that?
I have the blaring white teeth, but I don't have the lips that look funny.
What did you say you were wearing again?
A skirt.
Would you put the phone down your pants?
No.
What kind of skirt?
Khaki skirt with a split up the center.
Oh.
Would you put the phone down your shirt?
I don't think it would fit. My shirt's a little tight.
It's tight? What kind of shirt is it?
It's just a stretchy tank top, hence the reason why I'm freezing.
Rob, did you say horsehair?
Oh, force it.
Oh, horse it.
Say
horsehair shirt.
I didn't say that.
Thank you.
Really? Yeah. Please? Would you please put the phone down your pants or down your shirt?
You guys are horrible.
Well, we are, yes. We're just back from a long vacation.
Yes, I know, and you both had such a wonderful time, I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
I was enjoying both stories.
Please?
Actually.
Please put the phone down your pants or your shirt.
Hold on. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you happy now?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Which
You're
was
welcome.
That pants or shirt?
That was a shirt.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hi, bye.
That's a good little whore. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In North Carolina, NFL running back Fred Lane has been found shot to death in his home south of Charlotte. Lane was the all-time leading rusher for the Carolina Panthers.
Okay, Mike, to answer your question, Mike and I were just discussing during the break.
Would he be a big star?
With your limited knowledge
of
sports.
Fred Lane, big, powerful running back for Carolina, right?
Number 32 for Carolina, had recently signed with Indianapolis, matter of fact. I had him in the Fantasy League a couple of years ago. Not a bad running back. I wouldn't call him a star running back, but he was a known name in the NFL.
Yeah, big name, absolutely. All-time leading rusher for the Carolina Panthers sounded good to me. And yes, he was traded to the Colts in April.
Did Ray Caruth kill him?
I don't believe so. I think he's behind bars already, Don. Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Captain Chuck Johnson says the shooting was...
Really, Mike?
Yes, Don. I know you were joking, and I was joking, too. But, you know, whenever it's football, you give me that look like I might not know.
Oh, Buzz?
Yes.
This newscast is sponsored by Budweiser.
Yeah.
Pick up Bud or Bud Light. Win great prizes instantly. Visit Budweiser.com for details.
Hey, Bud. The police captain says the shooting was a homicide, but he adds that doesn't mean it wasn't justified. Police say Lane's wife, Deidre, is being questioned.
Uh-oh.
Lane was named in a domestic complaint filed by his wife in March. Deidre Lane told police that her husband snatched a necklace from around her neck during an argument, causing her to fall. But back then, she did not press charges.
Mm. When she killed him, did it have anything to do with the fact that he wouldn't exercise with her?
I don't know. We haven't gotten that far into the investigation yet.
Don't worry. It's going to be fine. It's going to be just fine.
If that comes up, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Former Washington, D.C. Mayor Marion Barry has been accused of exposing himself to a woman in a restroom at BWI Airport last night.
Last night?
Last night.
Oh, my God. You got a full plate back from vacation.
I do. And, who knows what to believe here. The woman is a cleaning woman. She says there may have, whatever this means, may have been some physical conduct, plus what she calls other conduct that would be deemed inappropriate. They do agree on this. Barry got off a flight from Chicago around midnight and walked into a men's room.
And he was horny.
The woman says Barry pushed her and then exposed himself. She called the police, who have now questioned the former mayor about this, but took no other action. Barry says he asked the woman to leave so he could use the restroom, and that she told him to wait until she was finished cleaning. He says he told her that it was urgent and that she pushed him. Barry's had prostate surgery, which can cause...
Buzz, hold on a moment, please.
We got a call?
Pick up 6, Mike. Yes, I believe we have the mayor online with us.
Oh.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, phone's not working very well, apparently.
Hello? Hold on a minute. Did you pick up 6?
Yep, you got it picked up, all right.
That's odd.
Hold on.
Oh, hold on. Here we go. Hello?
Hello. Yeah.
Marion.
Who's this?
This is Don. Don and Mike show.
I was just sleeping. I was asleep. You woke me up. Who's this again?
This is Don. Don and Mike show.
Oh, God. Not you guys again. Hi, how are you doing, Don? It's good. It's Mayor Barry.
Are you sweating?
I'm smiling. I'm sweating. We just had a long trip. I had a long trip and just came back from Chicago, and I was catching up on some sleep, so you caught me, what time, is it the morning?
No, it's nighttime.
Evening.
Late afternoon.
It's nighttime?
It's nighttime.
Nighttime is the right time.
Did you pull your wiener out at the airport yesterday?
Oh, yeah. I got off a flight, and there's a pretty cleaning lady here. She was in there, and I just whipped it out right there,
wow.
And she could see it, and I just tell you right now, she was pretty. And then she filed this complaint. I said, ain't that a bitch? Set me up again, just went there. I didn't do anything wrong. She looked at me and she was cleaning. And I was standing in the mirror and it was hot in the bathroom. So I was sweating and I smiled at her because I like to smile and sweat. And she looked over at me and I said, that look told me, hey, whip it out. Whip it out right
Pull
now.
Out your wiener.
So I did. And she was, people make too much of, I'm not worried about it. It's not going to be a problem. I really didn't whip it out. I just kind of showed it to her. And it wasn't a big thing.
Just the tip?
Well, just the tip. Just the very tip. That don't go making me laugh.
It was a late night.
I've been away for a while. Tough not to laugh. I saw her. She had a bucket and a mop. And,
I know that turns you on, doesn't it?
I like to see a woman work hard, and I'll tell you right now, she was working real hard, and I looked at her, she gave me a smile, and so I gave her a smile, I said, yeah, I was thinking to myself in my mind, I said, why don't you whip it out right now, and show just the tip.
Was the tip turgid?
It wasn't turgid. It doesn't get turgid like it used to, so I was hoping, though, that she put her mop down and come over, and so she said, is that what I think it is? I said, that's the mayor's tip. That's the mayor's tip right there. Would you like to see the mayor's tip? And if you like the mayor, you see the whole thing. And but then she went and did this stupid thing. Ain't that a bitch?
Ain't that a bitch?
Set me up. I'm real upset about it. But I just, I didn't let her. I'm not losing sleep over it, as you can tell. You woke me up.
All right. Well, thank you. Mayor Barry, as always, thank you. Mayor for life.
All right. Great show. Say hi to Charlie Boyle for me.
Bye-bye.
Mayor Barry, friend of Charlie.
Oh, yeah.
Who knew?
You never know with Charlie.
Richard the gay guy.
Buzz, hold on.
Okay.
You're going to get on a Survivor
Series. Yeah, we are.
Let me do a break here. Hold on.
Yeah.
Thank you. We will be right back.
Okay.
life.
After our grueling vacation, back with another overtime radio show for you.
Hello, Buzz.
Oh,
there you go.
Hi, Don and Mike.
I'll get it, Buzz.
I knew
working
you
with the new control board here.
I understand. I'll remember it.
A lot of great late radio news station. This evening. Kevin Starr's former spokesman has been charged with criminal conduct and has been ordered to stand trial next week in a case involving news leaks during the Monica Lewinsky investigation.
Oh, nice. Nice. Shoes on the other foot there, huh?
Yeah. Okay.
There's a news leak from Monica.
Yeah. Richard the Gay Guy from Survivor is suing state officials in Rhode Island.
He's my favorite, you know. He's my choice to go all the way and be a big wiener on Survivor.
And you saw his wiener last night on Survivor.
No, you know what they did? They did that thing like on Cops.
They pixelated it.
Yeah, they pixelated out his penis and also his ass.
Yes.
And he loved walking around naked all the time.
Did the others see him doing that?
Yeah, they were commenting.
You saw his wiener last night.
Some of them just said he does it all the time. Rudy was sawing down a tree and he said, I don't approve. He likes being naked all the time, but what can I do about it?
Yeah, Rudy's lifestyle, but I don't agree with it. I think the biggest change has been in Rudy. You know, he's softened and humbled quite a bit since that first episode.
Did you know what about that Richard guy?
Yeah,
before you tell us a story.
Were coming, they're saying,
the reason I like him, and the reason I think he's going to be the last one left on the island, is he's the biggest manipulating son of a bitch there.
Yep.
And last night with a camera on him, he looks right in the camera and he says, well, the great thing about our group is that we're making these alliances, and really, no one's leading the group, and no one's telling everybody what to do.
He's a politician.
You know, Bull S, he's the one who's getting the people together and saying, listen, we should all stick together when it's us against the other tribe. When the tribes merge, we've all got to be on the same team.
I will always remember what the producer of that show said when we had him on the show. He said he couldn't believe how devious and underhanded people could be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the best is yet to come when it comes to that stuff on Survivor.
And you have not lived until you've seen Richard run.
Oh, really?
Like last night during the obstacle course.
Yeah, Richard was struggling.
When he ran into the house.
Yep.
When he came running back and he thought he had the can opener, but really he had the knife.
I've got the knife, the duplicate item. I screwed my team. I thought he was a goner at that point. I thought he might be voted off. But actually, a lot of people agree with you, Don. Richard is now tied with Gretchen in the Las Vegas odds on who will win. Gretchen is also favored to win 4-1, according to Vegas odds makers. Jervis is the long shot at 50-1 as of today.
I would bet money that Jervis makes it into the final. How many are going to be left? Is it three at the end?
Two? I think they get down to two, and then the rest of the group gets back together to vote the final one off.
If they're down to 10 now, I bet Jervis makes it all the way to the final five.
Mm-hmm. I think that might be true.
Yeah, he's charming.
Old guy Rudy, by the way, since you mentioned him, he's finally managed to catch a fish. He won a tournament over the weekend in Virginia Beach by reeling in a 115.5-pound bluefin tuna. Too bad he couldn't pull that off on the island.
What was Richard pissed at Rhode Island about?
He's suing them, and that's mine. I'm getting back to that story, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
He's suing state officials there because they hit him with those child abuse charges that now have been thrown out by a judge. Richard says the Rhode Island officials only made that accusation because of his celebrity status. The 39-year-old was arrested back in April as he returned from his Survivor experience. He was accused of forcing his 9-year-old son to run 6 miles early one morning and of hitting the boy when the boy stumbled. School officials say they saw welts and bruises on the boy. Police say that report and an interview with the boy led to the charges. But apparently Richard came back quite the health nut, as it were, and I would be eager to see pictures comparing him from when he first arrived at the island. I understand he lost quite a bit of weight before it was all over.
So it's obvious that Richard has experienced the joy of cunning.
Yes. And the boy is adopted.
Okay.
The boy is adopted.
Is there a Mrs., though, in the equation?
I have not read any word of a Mrs.
Richard would be the one guy from that show I'd love to talk to.
Yeah.
I mean, more than any of the others on that show, I'd love to talk to Richard.
And I'd love to hear more details on that. I mean, why, that's the thing. When you get saddled with some kind of accusation,
right,
you don't hear why. I'd like to know why that was thrown out of court. I mean, and then you hear that your story that says they saw welts and bruises. So, I mean, is the guy a son of a bitch or is he just being falsely accused? It's hard to tell.
I don't know why the judge made the ruling that he did, but he felt, obviously, that there wasn't enough evidence to pursue the matter any further.
Mm-hmm. People stay outdoors longer during daylight savings time, which is one of the reasons that the second half hour of Survivor always does better than the first. Last night was no exception, and the show had 24 million viewers. It's still going strong. Easily beat all the other channels. And then Big Brother came on, and well over 2 million people tuned out. And another 2 million people left the show in the second half hour. However, Big Brother won its time slot with, at one point, at its highest point, 22 million viewers.
I will give the Big Brother a second shot tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, tonight, hopefully it's the real deal. You know, you get to see what's really happening in there. I've been watching on the internet today. Our first exhibitionist, I believe, is the guy with one leg. All he's wearing...
The one-legged boy.
All he's wearing today, and I, from the camera shot, I think you can tell, the only thing he's wearing today is a pair of overalls that aren't quite buttoned in all the places they should be. The girl with the nose ring spent about... And the CBS camera...
Is that the virgin, the girl with the
Brittany,
purple hair?
Yeah, who's probably going to stay a virgin through this trip, but she was... They had a close-up of her fiddling with her nose ring for about 20 minutes on the internet today. That's the kind of stuff you're missing if you're not on the web. CBS is refusing to apologize, meanwhile, for Bryant Gumbel, who apparently called one of his early show guests an effing idiot.
You're an effing idiot.
Good for him.
You effing idiot. You're just such an effing idiot. You can never come on my show again, and good luck to you.
The guest was a spokesman for the Family Research Council. Spokesman was there to say that his group supports the Supreme Court ruling allowing the Boy Scouts to continue their ban on gay scoutmasters.
Charlie Stossel is very much against that.
Mr. Stossel, with all due respect, you are an effing idiot. You really are.
And after,
please leave.
After Brian allegedly said that, the guest complained about it, and the Associated Press says a review of the videotape appears to support the guest. Accusation.
Well, now here's what the show, what really happened on the show, that they have the interview with the guy, mm-hmm. and then they cut away.
Right.
And you hear Bryant Gumbel say, that guy was a... And then someone in the control room turns down his microphone. Right. And the way I've heard the story related to me is that you can read Bryant Gumbel's lips and you can see that he says... effing idiot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that guy was an effing idiot.
But do they fade fade out before he does that, or can you, is it actually lingering? I mean, is that the raw tape, or is that the broadcast?
The broadcast tape. As they're pulling away from the wide shot, he says, that guy was A, and then someone in the control room turns down
the mic.
Turns down the pot, but then you can see him mouth the words, effing idiot.
That's what AP saw when they watched
How
the
many
tape.
Times do all those people that do those morning news shows probably want to say that? Unbelievable.
It was a tense interview.
We'll be right back. This is Today on NBC.
Oops.
F you, Katie.
F you, Matt.
F you, Matt.
F you, Matt.
And F you, Willard.
Actually, oh, God, Roker smells today.
And Curry.
Gumbel.
F you.
Gumbel apparently let the F word fly on his Public Eye show that was in prime time and got canceled before when
Jeffrey,
there was some kind
you.
Of technical foul up.
Hold on, Buzz. We got to do another break.
All right.
I'm sorry. Brought to you by Budweiser tonight, Buzzes. Budweiser.com. We'll be right back.
If you don't like them, you can go eat one. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Hello, Buzz. In sports, and recapping our top story, NFL running back Fred Lane has been found shot to death in his home south of Charlotte, North Carolina. He was the all-time leading rusher for the Carolina Panthers, but was traded to Indianapolis in April. The Yankees outslugged the Orioles this afternoon, 13-9. The Yanks made up a 7-run deficit with an 8-run rally in the second, highlighted by a 3-run homer by Derek Jeter.
That team of yours.
Love the Yankees. I've always loved the Yankees.
You always have.
Go Yankees.
Venus Williams.
Get rid of Chuck Knobloch, though. I believe he's retarded.
You don't think just because a guy makes a few errors, you got to get rid of him? Give a guy a break. No,
guy is retarded.
He has really little trouble throwing to first base.
He really is. He's got some kind of mental deficiency.
Little trouble trying to find that glove on the first baseman.
Venus Williams says she's always dreamed of winning at Wimbledon. Today she advanced to Saturday's final by beating her sister, Serena. Serena Williams was in tears as she left the court with her sister's arm around her shoulders. And finally,
which Williams was that? That was Serena.
The loser.
Yes.
The loser.
Serena was crying.
She's the hotter of the two, incidentally.
Really?
I think so.
Okay.
My humble opinion.
I'm trying to think. Who's the older one? Is that Venus?
Venus, I guess.
Yes. Serena wears the skimpier outfits, though.
I think you're absolutely right.
Who's the one who beat Ingus the other day?
That was Venus also, I think.
Connie? Was that Connie Ink?
then it might be the other one I like best. I don't know.
Hey, who knows?
Both those Williams sisters are pretty hot.
We're still getting to know them.
That's right.
What is Ingus's first name? Martina Ingus.
Martina Ingus. That's right. Oh, God.
Finally, she'll do you, and she'll do the windows, with hard economic times.
She was a whore.
In Romania, prostitution isn't paying as well as it once did there. The newspaper in Bucharest says hookers in Romania have started offering cooking and cleaning as part of their menu.
Wow.
At no extra charge.
Oh, wow. Have a meal, man. Come on down. Do me. Make a meal.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, we've got to go. So great to be back from vacation. We will be back tomorrow with the all-new episode, and we will see you then. Time now for a call number 100. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Right, yes you are. What's your name?
Sissy Rogers.
Who's this, please?
My name's Sissy.
Sissy? Spiffy? Jesse?
Sissy?
Again, please?
Sissy, C-H-R-I-S-I.
Chrissy.
Yes.
Chrissy, congratulations. You won the Dynamite Health Plan. You have won a free order of nachos from Taco Bell. Try Taco Bell's new chips with nacho cheese sauce. And you also want a coffee culotta from Dunkin' Donuts.
Something to wash it down with.
Try one today. But wait, there's more, honey. You have also won the 25th anniversary VHS Collector's Edition of Jaws.
Ooh.
Courtesy of Universal Home Video.
All right.
Jaws. Thanks, Spielberg. The movie only came out 25 years ago. Is now available on DVD. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Hold the line, please. And listen, we will be back tomorrow with the all-new episode. Tomorrow, I believe it's going to be Dan Fouts from Monday Night Football. We'll talk about Dennis Miller. Also, the reinvention of Dennis Murphy.
Right.
Also, Charlie Stossel with Puss and Mail.
Excellent.
Also, a brand-new low-budget Jeff Bardee.
Good.
Also, a lame mystery guest from TNT. All of that on tomorrow's episode.
Wonderful, wonderful.
We will see you then. Thank you, and good night, Buzz.
Thank you, and good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
And Robbie, please throw your Santa Claus hat in the air, just like Richard, Tyler Moore.
You might just make
come on. Do it for Sid.
Right now.
We're back.
From the waist. From my waist.
Okay. All right, perfect storm. Fags at sea. We will see you tomorrow.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let-